The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. What are you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth?
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Woo!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were cellmates together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
God. Kevin's back.
Kevin's back.
None of the mics were on. Where's Matt?
Anyway.
Now we can't hear you.
Welcome to
He's in there talking. I can't hear him.
How does he not know how to use his button?
He just there he is. Right.
Oh, God. Way to come back,
He turned all the programs off on him.
If you screw up lunch, you're fired. The show is one thing, but if we don't get lunch, you are fired.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Paul's here. Andy's here. Fred's here. Kevin's here, obviously.
Unfortunately.
Eric is down at the owner's meeting.
Wouldn't know by the blog.
At West Palm Beach.
Will you
is that off air?
Will you stop?
So he's covering the proceedings
he's
down
a
there.
Fine job.
Yesterday, Robert Kraft talked with the media and also had a one-on-one with B-Lo for Patriots Today. And today, Bill Belichick showed up for the coach's breakfast and spoke for about 45 minutes. I don't know how much it was actually speaking. Some of it was being just disgusted with the questions.
I would have been disgusted too if the first question I get as Bill Belichick is a Tebow question.
Well, a lot of them were Tebow. A lot of them were rules related. A lot of them were NFL related questions that he never answers
because
he just doesn't want to weigh in and be on record.
I mean, not necessarily the Tebow one, but the other one's a legit question.
Yeah, I have no problem with
that. He should
matters.
Be getting asked by.
But Tebow's
writer.
Not a league matter.
No.
But he never likes
Tebow. He shouldn't be getting asked.
I heard the guy. Not to interrupt, but I just came from
You just did.
I know, but it's relevant.
All right.
I just came from a Rob Gronkowski Dunkin' Donuts thing. He's now their spokesman, whatever. And he was doing separate one-on-ones with Nesson, Comcast. And the guy at Nesson asked him about Tim Tebow.
Wait, what do you think about facing Tim Tebow twice a year now?
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you absolutely kidding me?
Yeah.
He doesn't even play defense. Okay, maybe if you wanted to say Wildcat and turn it into like a football question.
If it were Wilford.
But you're asking the tight end of the Patriots about the backup quarterback of the Jets.
Well, it's
I don't know who it was, but I'm ripping him.
It's low-hanging
fruit. Hope it wasn't your guy.
No,
you know?
I wouldn't rip him.
Anyway, we'll get into Tebow a little later.
your Bo Jackson love affair guy.
He had a press conference with at the Jets practice facility yesterday. So we'll talk about that. But
also amazing. Let's hold a press conference for backup quarterbacks now.
Yeah. In the
he's
news,
he's turning into Chris. He's in his open right now.
Yeah.
And we keep talking and he's not happy with
also
it.
Also in the news, the Saints, couple, issues with the Saints. Sean Payton is down there, spoke for 18 minutes today, answered every question, to his credit today. But a story came out yesterday, and I guess it's true that he has approached Bill Parcells to take over the team for a year.
Well, I don't know if that's totally clear. He has approached Bill Parcells to discuss
the
year, and one of the ideas being floated about is he could do it.
And
I love it.
And I think I also read a report this morning that Parcells probably wouldn't do it,
which means he'll be back on board by the end of the week,
right?
Why won't he do it?
That he's the quote was. He doesn't really have the appetite for coaching right now or something along those lines.
What does that mean? The system is set up. You have offensive and defensive coordinators who are going to run this. I mean, you're just kind of overseeing. You're along for the ride.
It's a little bit more than that, you know.
You're not putting anything in place. You're not developing a 5-year.
All you got to do is take the Peyton phone call every week and
right.
do what he says.
Right.
Is that not legal?
Yeah, that's not legal.
Oh. Yeah, but that's what's going
to
happen.
Oh, well, I know, but I think the league is going to try everything in its power to make sure it doesn't.
I'll tell you who I lost a little, and I don't know the whole story, Paul, but your boy, Petey, a little concerned about what he's doing.
He didn't want to do it?
Yeah. What's that all about?
I think that because Spagnuolo said the same thing, and I think
but that's different.
And it's different for him because he's new to the team. I agree, but I'm wondering if maybe they're both looking at this is a very, very difficult situation. You're losing your head coach. You're going to lose some players too, more than likely, right? It's not really set up for success. Does he really damage himself by taking over?
I think
he might.
I don't think you do. You're going to have a decent offense. You have Drew Brees, assuming they sign Drew Brees.
No, but you could damage yourself with the players that you are coaching. You know, let's say you're the offensive coordinator. Now, I know that a lot of head coaches are offensive coordinators and, you know, so on and so forth. But if you started out to this point thinking that I'm just going to be the offensive coordinator, you've set yourself up in a certain way with those players. And now you're going to have to be the coach. And so you're thinking about the whole team and maybe you.
I got to tell you, if I'm an owner and I had him on any list of maybe developing head coaching candidates, this is really a black mark for me.
Well, I'll tell you the black mark, too, that to agree with Andy's side here is the team kind of needs him. So, you know,
right.
The New Orleans Saints need one of these guys to step up. And I agree with Andy that
the
more logical candidate.
Pete Carmichael turtles.
The more logical candidate
could
is Pete
be a
Carmichael.
Money thing? It's okay, I'm going to take over the head coaching duties and you're not going to pay me more? Forget it.
Well, it could be a lot of things. I just don't. I mean, to me, it's a one-year thing. And I look at it as a way to build my resume. I'm a little bit overshadowed by Sean Payton. This could be a chance for me to say, I want to be a head coach in this league. I took an absolute crappy situation and made the best of it.
And we've all done, you know, these kinds of things where you have to step up and do something that is really not part of your job.
It's almost
and,
a can't lose because if
right.
you don't do well, you kind of expect it.
No,
if you
see,
do really
I think
well.
I think it's very easy to say if you don't do well, it's to be expected, but I don't think the other 31 guys say, oh, that guy's a riser. No, they say, oh, geez, he took the Saints and they went, you know, 6-10. I don't think they look at the situation.
See,
I think he can hurt himself.
Unless the wheels absolutely fall off and it's like chaos
and
he can't run the ship.
Right.
But if you just lose, you're competitive, but you just lose.
Yeah.
I think it's
especially
a positive.
If some key players get suspended.
Right. Yeah. Or if Drew Brees holds out until week one.
Right.
Or,
if Drew Brees were to hold out, then that would be, I think, the asterisk. Of all aspects.
To me, it's a much bigger black mark on his resume that he doesn't want to do it.
I would tend to agree with you. I think he's better off giving it a shot.
Unless he just wants to be a coordinator. I said that to Fred. If he just wants to be a career coordinator, okay, then I have no problem with it.
Does Sean Payton have any fear for his job? I tweeted out yesterday that him asking Parcells might also be him preserving his own job, because if Parcells comes in and they're successful, well, it's Bill Parcells. Of course, he's a great coach, Hall of Fame coach. But if Pete Carmichael or somebody else comes in and by some miracle they win the Super Bowl, Tom Benson, being cheap like he is, might say, well, what do I need Sean Payton for? You think that this is Sean Payton? And if I'm Tom Benson, did he have to clear it with Tom Benson before he went to Parcells? Because if I'm Tom Benson and he went to Parcells.
To clarify, if Fred is Tom Benson.
No, if I'm the owner and my head coach goes to Bill Parcells and about this before clearing it with me, I'm pissed.
See, I wouldn't be.
Oh, I'm pissed.
Oh, I've put him in
charge
of the franchise.
I'm the one that makes decisions on who the head coach is, not you.
But the head coach is Sean Payton. Except for this year, the head coach.
Because
is Sean
Tom
Payton.
Benson made him the head coach.
Yeah, I agree with Fred on that.
Put the faith of your franchise in Sean. Otherwise, I think you should fire him. If you're not planning on having Sean Payton run your team, which is what it sounds like that he has already said, you're my head coach after this.
And Sean Payton said 100% he will be back next year to
be
the coach. But that
the long-term
decision
interest,
is Tom Benson's.
Yes, but if Sean Payton knows that, then it's now his job to ensure the long-term.
I own the team and my coach is in this situation, he goes to somebody as high profile as Bill Parcells about taking over, I want to be the first to know about it, not Bill Parcells.
Well, first of all,
how do you know he doesn't?
Yeah,
I don't.
Well,
I'm saying
before we get into this whole hypothetical, do we know anything about this?
No. That's what we do.
Okay.
Stop.
Okay.
Because guessing he went to Benson and say, how much can I offer Parcells?
Yeah.
I mean, you need to know money-wise.
And now I'm on your side. As long as that happened, Now I'm on your side. Tom Benson put Sean Payton to make these decisions.
Right.
As long as Benson knows about it,
right.
I think Benson would be wrong to say, you're not doing that.
I'm right. just asking if he knows about it.
I'm sure he does.
As long as I do agree with you, Fred.
Well, now he does.
Fred, I agree yes. with you. Tom Benson should not have found out about that through the media.
Right.
I agree with you on that. Right. There is just, I mean, there's a right way and a wrong way to do things.
Sure.
And he should know about it first. But I agree with Andy. He's the guy that Benson put in place.
Sure.
So
you agree even more than me. You think Mickey Loomis is along for the ride.
Well, I think it's pretty
Mickey
clear.
Loomis, if, Mickey Loomis.
I think it's pretty clear if you've heard anything over
right,
the weekend that
right.
Mickey Loomis is along for the ride.
One other thing.
No one really cares about what Mickey Loomis has to say.
One other thing, thought that I had on the Bounty Gate in, before we get emails about why are we talking about the Saints? Let's,
sure, they're already
just
coming.
A thought that I have.
Oh, it's the NFL meetings.
I want to know if you guys agree with me. I think I threw this out there before, but you know, we're all talking about player safety and salary cap violations out of these bounties, but the other aspect I think that no one's talking about and they should is the gambling aspect. If you've got a guy like Greg Williams who goes from team to team and you know he's a bounty guy related to injuries, that's an in for a bookie. That's an in to be able to influence games through one guy. You know, they always say it's really hard to influence the game by just talking to the quarterback or just talking to a running back. Well, here, if you know that a team is out to knock out a quarterback, it changes the percentages and the odds a little bit.
A little.
A little bit.
Yeah,
and
I don't know necessarily.
That's all they're always looking for is that little
that.
Edge.
No, but I mean, they've put bounties on a lot of guys that never left the game, right?
Right. But if you know that they're actively going after Brett Favre.
I'm not betting on that team any more than I would
bet
on the other team. I think they're better. What, the other team is not actively going after Drew Brees just because there's no bounty on him? Are you kidding me?
I think if there's money on the table. In 2006, he plopped down $15,000 for Brad Johnson.
Right.
No. But
you
my
know,
point
so
you
is.
You think that increased their chances of knocking Brad Johnson out of the game?
I do.
I didn't see
so
any.
Why would they do it, Paul?
It's just
because they
want to.
Yeah.
It's just like when they do the things that the Patriots have talked about with interceptions and stuff.
But
do you think they're going after an interception anymore?
I didn't see one stat that said that they got the quarterback knocked out of the game any more than any other
team. That may not be, but I'm.
Well, that's what you need to know as a bookie. Yes, if you can prove to me.
That's my point. It's not affecting.
10% more of the time they knock the quarterback out. Okay,
I'll tell you where you might have something, Freddie, and I don't know if they've come out with anything more, and I wasn't here yesterday, so if there was something that came out of the league meetings, I apologize if this is common knowledge, but that whole email thing, there was one particular email from Payton that someone sent,
put
I'm putting $5,000 on it, and there was like this mystery person.
Yeah, Ornstein.
If that's,
I thought
if
it
that's
was.
Like some sort of shady character gambling
exactly.
type guy, this is where you get
right.
into it. Not a competitive, like gambling, the games aren't on the up and up. That's a different, I don't think there's any edge to be made for the gambler,
right.
But if gamblers are getting involved in putting this money in, and this, now you're talking about something that is probably a place the NFL doesn't want to go.
All I know is that a guy like Greg Williams opens a crack to, like you said, outside influences.
Yes, yep. And I agree with you on that. That's why I think that they came down so harshly.
Yeah.
I found the most interesting thing yesterday is, do you know who Sean Payton's agent is?
Neil Cornrich?
Don Yee.
Oh,
is it?
And you have a quarterback who is the marquee quarterback of the league and who bitches more than anyone if anyone goes within 5 feet of his knees, and the coach who's sending people at people's knees every week, represented by the same guy.
You know what? I heard on the radio, I think it might have been over the weekend, but a very interesting point with that in regards to that. You remember that 2009 game in New Orleans? Patriots got killed.
Yes.
You know, Saints, that was their Super Bowl year, and that was the year the Patriots, quote-unquote, Belichick can't get these guys to play the way we need to play on the road. And that was the game that he said that on the Football Life documentary. If you recall,
Brady
came out of that game. And you might say, well, what's so strange about that? They got killed. Brady never comes out of games. Up a lot, down a lot. It has to be ridiculous. What, maybe one or two times a game? So I wonder.
Who made this point?
I heard it on the radio, and I don't know. I would credit
some.
Brady does not come out of games very often.
Because now you're saying that other teams know.
Maybe
that there's a
bounty. Maybe the Patriots knew. Listen, there might be something not on the up and up.
And Peyton and Belichick are tight.
Maybe Jonathan Vilmer and Vince Wilfork are tight.
Well, again.
You know what I'm saying?
Again, this is not too. The Saints. This is really Greg Williams. That's why he suspended indefinitely, because this is a guy who's been with several teams and did it at supposedly at every team.
No, I know, but I don't know a connection between Belichick and Williams. I know that Peyton and Belichick have developed a friendship and a relationship, and it might only be one little thing where Peyton says, I don't know what he's doing, but Williams really has that defense going at quarterbacks. And Bill just went, dong, like, might be a little innocent thing like that. I'm not saying Peyton said, we got a bounty system in place. It's kicking ass over here.
And I'm wondering if maybe the Patriots had some sort of inkling that that's what the Saints do.
Yeah.
I wish you could credit somebody.
I want to say maybe Gasper and Bertrand. On 98.5 The Sports Hub, Chris Gasper and Mark Bertrand. I don't remember who came up with it, and I don't remember if it was even, maybe it was even a caller. I don't really, I apologize for not properly crediting someone, but I did hear it, and it did immediately say to myself that, I think you could count on one hand the amount of times Brady has come out of games that they've lost. I mean, occasionally when they're winning really big, Hoyer will come in and mop up.
Right.
But in games I know that Hoyer came into the Cleveland game, for example, in 2010, that we just got killed. And Hoyer came in and actually threw an interception, I think, on the last possession. But not too many times does Brady come out of game, because he's that guy. He always thinks that he can come back and, And a lot of times Belichick gets criticized for it. You're exposing him to unnecessary hits and blah, blah, blah. I wonder if the Patriots had some sort of idea.
Well, because his theory is Brady can get hurt on any play, so I keep him in. But on that game, he's thinking he can get hurt more here than anywhere else.
Well, I have no doubt that because of the severity and the swiftness that the NFL came down on this, that the evidence is damning, that it is clear-cut evidence.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, I would say that everything is true except for the swiftness. It's gone for like 3 years.
No. But once they reopened it, it was very swift.
But What's-His-Face said they've been investigating it since before the 2009 season.
But they didn't have any hard evidence.
Right.
As soon as they got the hard evidence, they smashed them.
Right.
And then they said that, Peyton has continued to stonewall them, too, and lie about it. I thought one of the things he said today, it was one of those, I'm taking responsibility, but if you really listen to his words, he's really telling you that it wasn't really his responsibility.
Like Greg Williams did when he said, instead of getting caught up in it.
Caught up in what?
You directed it.
Right.
He said something along, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the quote in front of me, but he sort of explained how, as the head coach, you're responsible for everything. And that I liked, because he wasn't ducking the responsibility, because I think that's true. When you oversee a program, ultimately everything that happens underneath that is your responsibility. It's same thing in college.
I didn't know that it was in the contract.
Really?
Yeah.
They were
talking about what he actually signed in his contract, and everything that any assistant does totally is your responsibility. Like, it's listed like what you're responsible for. And I thought, because I always assume it, you think the leader is responsible for everything under him, but to know that it's actually written
There's an email that got out there that Peyton sent to one of his players, offensive players, and he said, I know you and I weren't in those defensive meetings. So he's kind of, how those emails get out. So
I thought that was something on, he sent it to Shockey.
Yeah.
He sent something to Shockey.
Right, right.
No problem, Shock. Don't worry about
it.
You know that we were in the offensive meetings or
something
like that. And that was along the lines of what he said today. I think it was today anyway, about, I as the head coach, I take responsibility. But then he talked a lot about, whether that's offense or defense or, areas that you're more closely involved, like offense or not. Basically, he didn't say, don't blame me, I'm the offensive guy. But what he was telling you was, don't blame me, I'm the offensive guy.
Right.
I didn't know this was going on.
There's a lot of shady stuff that goes on that, years ago, I don't know if this practice still happens, but I know I was told by a player that a certain defensive coach demanded that if he gets the Pro Bowl, he gets a piece of that money that he gets from making the Pro Bowl. He wants a kickback.
I remember that story. Yeah.
I mean, that's shady.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So that's some of the league stuff going on. Of course, Tebow yesterday. Patriots-wise, Robert Kraft talked yesterday, and he said something that kind of raised my eyebrows, that in 2008, Tom Brady was looking to come back before the season was over, if he could have, if it wasn't for – because they're talking about making a change to the injured reserve list where, maybe 8 weeks later you can come back. There's more of a disability list, a disabled list. And he said that in 08.
I wonder where they got that idea. Yeah. Right here on PFW in Progress.
In 08, that Brady may have been able to come. I can't believe that to be true. No. With an ACL?
No.
Yeah.
Well, particularly his. He had complications.
Right, right.
Yeah, but even without that, you're talking about 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, so I don't
see any doctor in good conscience would allow him to go back on an NFL field within 3 months of surgery. Or that was what, September?
Or maybe they would do some other stabilizing surgery and then do another surgery after the season, knowing he could come back.
The only way to stabilize it is to repair the ACL or replace the ACL.
Okay, so I don't know what he was.
And there's major issues because the liability becomes Robert Edwards-like.
Right.
Nerve and artery or vein or whatever the main thing is. That's the major. If you're a doctor, you're putting somebody in harm's way of never walking again or bleeding out and dying.
Yeah, that kind of was a little odd to me. He also was asked about Wes Welker, and, you know, he said more of the same about, you know, he's a special guy, means a lot to the team. We're happy that he's going to be here for this season.
He also agrees with me in that same sentence. He said, just like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Right.
That's what he said.
Well, he was...
He's a special guy, just like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Right.
And Light is clearly retiring, even though no one said it.
Yeah.
The reading between all these lines is... He keeps saying, like, I should check with him before I announce any... He's retiring.
Right.
I mean, that's the only way you can read all of this, is Light is out.
Which is too bad. I mean, I don't know...
And he also got elected to the executive committee this week, which I find is funny. That all... Like, Kevin Mawai was the president, and he was out of football. Now Matt Light is going to be on the executive committee, out of football.
Yeah. So...
Mike Vrabel was part of it. Technically out of football,
that's
too.
Yeah.
As long as you're on a roster the previous year, I guess, is the rule.
In terms of signings, the Patriots released Lusaka Polite last night, and they signed...
It wasn't very nice. Polite, if you will.
No, but they did sign... They signed Tony... what's his name? Feminini?
No, I don't believe that is.
From the Cowboys?
Is it Fiametta or Fiametta?
Fiametta.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
And you're very excited, huh?
No.
Really?
I like it.
No.
Really?
Yeah, signing all these fullbacks.
It's the all-Andy offense.
I mean, I guess he's really good at blocking, you know.
Which in other cities might be useful.
Yeah.
New England's not a city.
You know, so the question is, what does Josh McDaniels have up his sleeve? Are they going to come out in traditional running sets so that they can run when they want, but have more of that, you know.
No.
You know. They'll be able to pass out of that formation as well, just to mix it up more.
No.
You don't think so?
I think these are all just like special team depth moves.
Well, I think especially the Larson one is he's a special team. He's supposedly a very versatile guy. Obviously, he's played both offense and defense. And he's considered to be a great special teamer. He'll be like, Gerard Cherry and Matthew Slater and Tracy White. He'll have a position on the roster. But he'll be a special teams player.
And plus,
if he's even here.
Bill can't draft these guys. You know, the compensatory picks came out. We have no picks after the fourth
round.
True. Some of these are guys, Jags, that they would have drafted in the draft.
That's a good point.
No offense to them.
That's a good point.
Now, maybe they'll have Fiametta around as a traditional fullback, but I wouldn't expect him to be a bigger part of the offense than
Polite
was last year.
Right. Okay.
I just think that's the way their offense is. I don't think they run a lot of two-back sets with a traditional blocker in front. You know, maybe
certainly
on the,
not now.
Maybe
I mean,
on the goal line you want to do that. And you have
questions about Ridley fumbling. Do you really want to line up and say, we're going to run the ball and just let him take hits? I mean, if anything, you still want a little bit of a doubt when he's out there that is this passing, is it running, till he gets established.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not sure you want to go line up in the eye and pound him. I did want to update from the Rob Gronkowski event. In a walking boot, said a couple weeks down the line he expects to get out of the walking boot, but he feels great. Literally getting better every day, walking around, and he's walking fine with the boot.
I believe that he has a very quick recovery period compared to most human beings.
If he's a human being.
Yeah.
But he was he is priceless. For if you want a spokesman to interact with fans, and he was working the drive through and just making everybody laugh, and, you know, $1.99, do you want your penny? Like, it's just goofy, signing on. And then the best part, the slogan is Gronk if you love Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
It's going to be their slogan. And he's telling people after the order, Gronk if you love Dunkin' Donuts, honk your horn. Because there's, like, cameras taping
it.
Right. It was just... He's good.
And then you told me a story that was like an older lady that came up and clearly didn't have
any
idea.
There was a lady, didn't know who he was, didn't want to, you could tell she wasn't really in the mood or anything, and he played it straight. Like, he just basically gave her an order, and then he turns around, I didn't think she wanted to play along. Like, he was just...
That's good.
He was very, very good. Well, and he was interacting with, there was some guy who makes his sandwich because he goes to that drive-thru a lot, and he was joking around, best sandwich in town. Like, he has people eating out of the palm of his hand all the time.
when is the last time the Patriots had, you know, that type of player?
Never.
Where, you know, almost, he's
We're not
quite,
talking about on the field, Andy. Yeah. Relax.
He's,
like
no,
this,
no, no,
like
I'm
this
talking
presence,
about
this
yeah.
clown.
He's
kinda.
Not, he's not quite Broadway Joe, but he's got that.
But you have to be
aura.
Great on the field.
Yes.
You might have to go back to like Russ Francis, not to use the same
yeah.
position.
Yeah.
But that would fit.
I mean, he yeah. was like this crazy, carefree kind of
right.
guy.
Right.
You know, skydiving and doing these, weird, you know, not weird, but, you know, different kind of things.
Yeah. Cause yeah. they've had the guy, but. If it's Larry Izzo, for example.
Right, Rich Oenberger had a great personality
well,
and
even,
all that
yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, less than that. Yeah. But even Izzo was like a Pro Bowl special teamer, but you're a special teamer.
Right.
This is a Hall of Fame caliber performer at tight end. That
right.
is, I mean, there's not a lot of times, A, that they've had
yeah.
a great player, but mixed in this
yeah.
at, and I hope he doesn't lose it. And I don't think he will, because I don't think he could, it's just him being him.
Yeah, right. I don't think he will either, because I think that he has been sort of, not defensive, but unapologetic.
Right.
For his behavior, you know, after the Super Bowl, you know, a lot of people say, oh, he apologized. No, he didn't.
Right.
He basically, he explained himself, but he didn't apologize, nor did he need to.
Nope.
And I even like now, and this, I just posted Ask PFW before we came downstairs. There was a post from one of the, one of our readers that said, you know, ironic that on the day that Tom Brady restructures his contract to give $7.2 million in cap space to the Patriots, Gronkowski's out there again. Caught on the, all over the internet on spring break passing. I didn't even know what this was.
Yeah, there was some.
But, you know, I assumed it was, you know, but whatever. First, I said, you know, obviously, let's not give any celebrations to Tom Brady for accepting $7.2 million up front.
Boatload of money, as the owner,
yeah, as the owner put it, a boatload of money. Any player would do that and certainly would want to. But I'm tired of this whole notion that Rob Gronkowski is not committed to the Patriots.
Right.
Okay. When he starts slipping or when he is not available and not responsible to his teammates is when I'll say, well, maybe if he wasn't worried about the Dunkin' Donuts promotion or something like that, I'll have a problem. But right now, he seems to me to be the ideal teammate
in every regard. He might be all over YouTube and all those other sites, but at least we know where he is.
And we also just because he's you assume because I can see him doing certain things. See him drinking or partying or whatever. I don't know that Brady's not doing that. He just happens to have a compound in Costa Rica where there's
right.
not going to be anybody taping him.
Right.
Gronkowski's main fault may be that he likes to interact with people and young people in college crowds.
Right.
Well, you know what? What is he, 21? I mean, he was drafted young.
He's a kid. Those
are still his people.
Hey, right. Brady liked to party
right,
when he was young.
He did.
Because those are you. That's
when
your
you're single and you don't have a family. That's
right.
That's what you do.
Right.
You want Tara Reid dancing on yeah. a table, showing you her fake tatas.
Bledsoe blew it. He got married when he was like in eighth grade or something.
And Bledsoe
like that.
Liked to party too. I know he's
did
not.
You miss the diving incident?
No, that's true. That's true.
Is that with the boys?
He
that
was
night?
Younger.
But
even
that happened.
I mean, that was a bad incident that he was involved in. But even other than that, he liked to go out when he was younger. He was out all the time. And he
most people do.
And
right.
things change.
Right. The other news that Ocho Cinco has restructured his contract. Did we talk about that already? That happened since the last show, didn't it?
Officially, yes.
Yeah, it's official now.
But he kind of tweeted out allusions to that a while ago on Andy
But I guess it down to $1 million, right?
Okay. Why are you raising your eyebrow?
I'm
down to one.
I'm just asking.
Now, that is not a restructure.
No, yeah. that's a pay cut,
as
I wrote on the blog. And basically, his option was take a pay cut or your career may be over.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where else he's going to go and how much another chances he's going to get after that abysmal performance.
Does that make him three things? Choose from one. More likely to make
John
the team.
John Dennis joining us for the show.
More likely to make the team, more likely to get cut, or more likely to be traded?
More likely to make the team.
More likely to make the team,
you
think?
He makes less money, so.
Okay.
So be valuable, he can be worse.
But he's now more marketable because now
he's
the team only
who's going to trade for him?
I don't know. Maybe well, he can get one of those fifth, sixth, or seventh round picks.
There's a sucker born every minute, and he coaches the Patriots.
I would say in order of your things, more likely to make the team is number one. More likely to get traded would be number two. It has no effect at all on his chances of getting cut because
right. yeah.
Well,
but,
I mean,
but what
are you going to cut a guy making $3 million or cut a guy making $1
million? No, if his chances of making the team are better than his chance of getting, he has to do less to be of value. That's the only way I would look at it. Is Bill in his mind says a $3 million receiver needs to be my number one receiver or my number two receiver. A $1 million receiver might be able to be my number four receiver and catch me 35 passes. He may have a value in his mind of those two numbers at receiver.
You think
so it doesn't increase his chances of getting cut?
doesn't increase his chances.
Yeah, that's what he, that was.
Oh,
yeah, that
no,
was
it decreases question. His chances of getting cut.
It decreases. Yes. So more chance to make the team.
Right.
Well,
right.
that's yeah, he said. Right. That.
Okay, I thought you had conflicting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No. No.
Okay, so do you think he has incentives in his program, in his contract?
No,
that,
I think they said, we're cutting your salary. If you want to stay on the roster, we're cutting your salary.
But, Fred, your trade thing, I do think, is something that he would look into. Yeah, I don't think it'll...
Who wants to acquire him?
I don't think it'll happen.
Well, for a seventh, would you take him?
But if you were like a team like last year...
No, after last year?
I don't know everything that they've done in the offseason, but a team like the Rams last year that just had absolutely no wide receivers, you wouldn't give a sixth or seventh round pick for him?
During the year, sure. But I don't think at
the end of training camp?
Maybe, but I mean, you in the off season, you're working to build long term, significant upgrades. To me, he would be a patchwork guy for any of those types of teams. I don't think you're at that point.
I'm not saying
now.
That it's a high, high percentage of probability. Yeah. There. No, yeah. But I mean, he only makes $1 million. If someone really was, strapped for a receiver, maybe someone goes down in training camp, someone's number two receiver or number three receiver goes down in training camp, and they just want a veteran to plug in.
Maybe.
Kevin says, Fred, you piss me off.
But probably no at $3 million.
Hi, Paul and D-Bag. For years, I have heard you bitch about the antics of T.O. and Ocho Cinco, but when Gronk does all this extra stuff, you have no problem with it and say that he is a great teammate. Explain to me the difference between what Chad and T.O. were doing and what Gronk is doing now. You would be throwing an absolute baby fit if Brady was getting caught doing this. Not if they keep performing.
No. T.O., I'll tell you the difference is T.O. has been consistently destructive to his team.
Right.
He's not a good teammate.
Right.
He's not reliable. He's often talking about his lack of prominence in the offense. Those are destructive things for your team within your locker room. Ocho, I've never had a problem with. You have off the field. I always thought that he was a hardworking guy and just an entertainer.
Yeah,
now, I wish he would do a little bit more on the field and entertain me that way. Right. But
both guys love to live life.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
But Ocho's the bulk of Ocho's career in Cincinnati was similar to the way Gronkowski approaches
things. Yes, they take advantage of their position.
They're celebrity. And I have no problem.
Live life.
And he was very productive for the most part in Cincinnati.
You didn't answer.
Scott
You
said,
didn't answer.
What?
You didn't
What's
answer.
What's the question?
What is the big difference between Ocho in Cincinnati and Gronk now?
Performance.
What, 1,400 yards and going to the Pro Bowl wasn't enough for you in Cincinnati?
That was years ago.
Well, that's what he's talking about. And you used to rail against Ocho Cinco in Cincinnati.
Right, but no, but the year, last year when they picked him up prior to that, I was concerned about all the tweeting and the reality shows and all this stuff, and it was borne out. Scott.
Because he got old.
Scott writes in, he says, I disagree with this. He says, Gronk is the new Manny. I don't think that's true. Manny.
The big issue is apparently Manny's a douchebag.
Yeah,
and
Manny
Gronk is a good guy.
Manny is widely considered one of the worst people in baseball. And
yeah, Terry Francona actually said
called him the worst guy he's ever had. Right?
Human being,
worst human being he's ever had. Right?
Yeah. I don't think anybody would call Gronkowski a bad human being.
Right?
Anybody?
No.
So that's a major difference. He's closer to like Pedroia, another Dunkin' Donuts spokesman, like fun loving, unbelievable confidence. Pedroia's not really the party animal because he's married and a little older and all that. But, I mean,
he's more, not in terms of performance, but he's more like Kevin Millar if you're looking for a Red Sox goofy kind of guy,
Yeah.
Everybody likes him.
Off the field, yeah. On the field, it'd be Pedroia.
Right.
Or, like even a Derek Jeter who is always out and out and around and very much in that
but
social
he's a little
scene.
More polished.
Yeah.
I don't say that as a shot.
Millar is a good example.
Gronk is great.
Good analogy.
I think Gronk is he's doing nothing different than he did before he was a pro football player. He grew up in an environment with these brothers. Every day was goof off day. Every day was bang people into the couch, smash, just everything.
You
was
mean men, right? You're talking about hitting. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought that was a BB Jones
everything
reference.
Was a competition. Who can do this better? Who's fat? And that's how that's why I think he enjoys playing football so much, because it's an extension of his boyhood.
Right.
Which
is what they all should do.
Right.
It's the same for all of them. They're all overpaid high schoolers.
It's funny.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these guys don't have the kind of fun boyhood that he had.
Right.
You know,
well, that's true.
It's
a good point, actually.
You know,
but you hear so many people say, well, geez, you know, I would play for nothing. I love, you know, football and, you know, this is a game and these guys don't understand. They don't appreciate it and they're so businesslike. And yet you get a guy like this that comes out and he does play it like he's playing a boyhood game, like you said.
Right.
And he gets criticized right. for it. And I know he's not getting criticized widely. I mean, we should stress that there's a couple, a handful of guys. Right. I mean, I don't think there's too many people in Patriots Nation that say that Gronkowski, he needs to settle down and be more focused on what he needs to do to get better. I mean, you can't play any better than he did.
To me, the play last year that epitomizes Gronk to me the most, that reflects the boyhood nature of him, is where he fell on the head, staggers up, but still gets the spike off.
Yes.
You know, it's like
Kansas City Monday night.
Because he's an entertainer.
Right.
I mean, he knows that that's now expected. I got to have a big spike. That's part of me. Even though I don't know where I am, I'm going
to
spike it.
But he had to get that spike off. Right. And I laugh every time I see it. As dangerous as that was, that's who he is.
He, you know, this organization and his people need to take advantage of his personality as much as possible now because, you know, at some point it could turn. If his numbers drop, now it becomes, well, maybe if he wasn't out partying so much, his numbers,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And that happens. Legitimately, that
happens.
And
I'm sure he's been warned.
And you can do things at 22 that are going to catch up with you at 27.
Oh, and that's right. And that was part of it, you know, that Ask PFW question that I referenced earlier. They said, shouldn't, you know, someone, Belichick or Mr. Kraft or someone, talk to this guy? And I'm sure that has happened.
Right.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
But it's not, you need to stay in your house and not do anything. It's
right.
making better decisions and making sure that you're ready to go. And I, by all accounts and by all indications, more importantly, he's been ready to go.
Right.
I don't really see that being a problem, but I do think, you know, there is probably a line and he's going to cross over it.
He'll find it.
Yeah, he's crossing over it.
A lot of people find it. They realize, whew, it's a little harder to get out of bed the next day or whatever. And he'll realize that and maybe tone it down or change, you know, but I have no fault with what he's doing. He's living the life that every one of us would want to live right now.
Yeah, and as his brothers, one by one, get married, probably have families, things will change.
And that's how it works.
You know, right.
It's a rare case where, you know, even with friends, everybody starts to get married, that one just keeps going out and getting hammered every right. night. Then he has a problem.
Right.
He has to go to a
that's
facility.
The loser when you go home for Thanksgiving who's
right.
still, you know, at the bar.
But that usually kind of just takes care of itself over time. It just kind of plays itself out.
Right. All right, got a lot of emails. Web radio, having to get out the communication info. Webradio at patriots.com.
Communication info
is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. It's again webradio at patriots.com. Alex writes in from Philly. Tebow, the Bounty, and Peyton Manning. We haven't even talked about him. I don't know which is the biggest story. I can't wait for the season to start to watch how it all unfolds. I personally can't wait for the circus to come to town. When the Jets come to New England and watch the most overhyped field goal holder ever, Tim Tebow, over-under on the percentage chance that Rex will make Tebow a team captain, 45%. I'd say over. I think because remember they had the captain problem last year, and Rex said, from now on, I'm going to pick the captains. I could see him picking Tebow.
No, he said he's not going to have captains.
Oh, he's not going to have them at all?
Yeah, he blamed captaincy on the problems
okay.
they had.
Yeah, I also
not the fact that he picked a turd to be a captain.
Just because Tebow's a great leader. You can't have. He can't be your captain.
Because they had previously been a week-to-week team, remember?
Because yeah, Kevin O'Connell was.
Right. They picked captains on a weekly basis.
Also, it seems like with the restructuring of Brady and Ocho's deal, the team is freeing up a lot of money for something.
Nothing.
Could it be for Wes, or could it be for both tight ends next year? Or am I reading too much into this?
Yes, Robert got out his shotgun and shot that down.
Yeah,
in his
he just said they want to be flexible.
Lowe.
That's all.
Right.
Anyway, I wish they did that sooner. So they could have signed Mario Williams. Lastly, I want to give props to Andy for saying someone would be happy to overpay for Mark Anderson. He got $27 million, 8 guaranteed from the Bills. Yeah, no thanks.
And he was our best pass rusher, according to Pro Football Focus, ranking 12th in the NFL.
They're big on percentage of plays, pass rushing.
He was twice as good as Carter. I don't know what hit there.
I also wanted to get into, because we haven't really talked about it on this show, Benny's numbers, 3 years, $9 million. Too rich for you?
Yeah, I wouldn't assign him, but I'm not a big Benny guy.
See, I think if you're going to – I'm not a big Benny guy. You know that. And I have no problem with moving on. I think Ridley's the better option. So this is not a 2020 hindsight. I like
for
Stephen
Ridley.
For a guy
Ridley. Like that, though, you know,
that's not a lot of money. That's not a lot of money.
It really
$3 million for a guy who is your lead back and has been productive in the red zone is not a lot of money.
He's dependable. He had the toe, but that didn't really – you know, a lot of guys have been out a lot longer with that type of injury.
But I wouldn't I have no problem with Stephen Ridley. I like the way the Patriots, I have no problem with this.
But
so I
doubt
this
is Ridley related.
I don't want to misunderstand this.
But I don't think it's a huge overpay for the Bengals.
See, I do, because in my offense, he's not my lead back. I've learned that he's not my lead back. He's my goal line back. He's my short yardage back. And for all I know, Tony Fiamata or Spencer Larson is now that role.
But $3 million? That's not a lot, really.
For that?
Yeah.
I think that's a lot for that.
Wait a minute.
A short yardage backup running back.
So you don't have a lead back, is what you're saying?
I think it's Ridley, or they'll find
him. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. It is Ridley related. I have no problem with going to Ridley in the Benny role. Benny last year, I mean, the Patriots don't run the ball.
Okay, so what are you saying?
I have questions about Ridley in my short yardage and goal line.
No.
But what you said, let me get it straight.
Yeah,
though,
no, I'm on board with what Andy's saying, I think.
If Ridley's my lead back, I can't pay Jarvis Green Ellis $3 million.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yes. If I didn't have Ridley, I would have no problem with having Benny back at 3 years for $9 million.
So either Ridley now, as we stand, is the lead back, or they're going to make another move.
No. I think
Ridley's the lead back, but the problem is you don't know how he handles the goal line stuff that Benny did so well.
That could be Sammy
Morris. And you can't pay Benny $3 million to do the goal line stuff.
Right.
That's what Andy's point is, and I agree with.
And you can find some, and Bill may have, maybe one of these
Danny Woodhead.
Hey, one of our, another one of our emailers today
brought up. Guys who may not be on the roster.
How do you feel about Jackie Battle?
I'd give him a try.
One of our emailers brought that up and asked PFW in a rare moment of agreement, because I almost always disagree with all the suggestions. I was like, hey, that's a good suggestion.
Did you just answer with, he's not the Patriots type of player?
Oh,
like that annoyed somebody. Eric getting lit up by SPFW emailers, too.
Brandon Jacobs. He's not a Patriots-type running back.
That was his answer.
What does that mean?
Yeah. The guy was pissed. If he's not going to put in more effort, then take him out of the rotation. We don't even want him answering questions.
They chastised Eric through Andy and I and said, just let Andy and Paul answer the questions. He'll tweet it out.
But you can get a guy for what you may have Benny's role be now, because I think Ridley is your – and Vereen. I don't think you just drafted Vereen in the second round to be a third down back.
No. He's more than that.
So your Ridley Vereen is now your future and your lead, whatever you call it. Now you fill in that short yardage, secure goal line.
And I'm good with that. I am comfortable with that.
Right up until they don't punch it in or they fumble three times on the goal line.
If he has a fumbling problem, then
that's a problem.
People are going to look back and say, for $3 million, you had a guy that you knew didn't have a fumbling problem.
Didn't make any plays.
But to me, that's hindsight.
What everybody likes to overlook.
That's right.
By the way, Jackie Battle apparently has never
fumbled
either.
According to his stats, he hasn't fumbled.
Jackie Battle.
He had touchdowns. That's great. And I love that he had touchdowns and didn't fumble.
And I love him. I think he's a solid team guy. Listen.
He's the Brian Hoyer. We want to have a team with Brian Hoyer as the quarterback and Benny as the running back. You have great men on your team. You'll lose all your games, but you have great men.
I think you answered the question perfectly, Andy, and I think with Ridley's presence, you did not need him. If you didn't have a guy like Ridley who had more dynamic potential, I guess, no big plays, then I would say, why not? I don't think $3 million is that much for a guy who's going to get somewhere between 10 and 15 carries a game, and that's Benny.
Right.
Benny's not a guy that was going to get you 20 carries a game, but here and there he was going to be your guy that was going to get 15 carries. He wasn't going to fumble and he was going to produce.
Right.
So I agree with that, and I would have taken him. But I have no problem with going to Ridley. I think he's the better option. And you used a third-round pick last year on him. It's time to make sure that you drafted well.
All right, so there's a lot of things on the table. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Mike is in Florida. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Mike.
Good. Hey, listen, a little off subject. I have a comment and then a question I'd like you to discuss. My comment is, I think I've agreed with T-Rex a couple of times over the years. And the first time was when he said he liked boobies. So the other one was actually when he says Bo Jackson's the greatest athlete of all time. He's absolutely correct. I've been watching football for like 35 years, and I've never seen anyone come close to what he could do. And I want to just touch base on a comment that I think Eric made about, that Tim Brown might be, Jim Brown might have been better. Do you guys ever think that the competition he was playing against might have overrated him? He was playing against, guys that sold insurance in the summer and a bunch of slow white guys. Bo Jackson played against the best of the best. Do you agree with that?
I think
I don't agree with that reasoning, but I agree with that Bo Jackson's the greatest
athlete. Yeah, I think Bo Jackson would have been better, but he never got a chance
to prove it. No, but I do think there's something to be said for the overall level of competition improves by generation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a minor
factor. I think he'd still be great. Yeah. I think Jim Brown would still be great in any era.
Jim Brown played against guys that sold insurance because football players didn't make enough money to have that be their sole means.
No,
so
I know.
It's not a slam on their athletic. Yeah, it wasn't because the guys that he played against weren't athletic enough.
No, but they also weren't working out. It wasn't their sole goal to be in tip-top shape.
Right, if Jim Brown had today's workout regimens and
maybe he would have been Bo Jackson.
Programs, exactly. You know, he could. Yeah, exactly. But Bo Jackson was absolutely the greatest I've ever seen. He was immensely gifted.
I give Andy a lot of static only because of his little pants tent that he has every time Bo's on TV. But no question, he's very much worthy of that sort of adulation.
Good. Hey, listen, let me ask you guys a question that I've been thinking about for a while, and I can't understand what it is. So maybe you guys can flesh it out for me. What is the benefit to the NFL or the union to limit the number of active players on game day? You know, was it 53 players and they have 8 inactives? Wouldn't it benefit? Obviously, it's going to benefit the team to have all players available, and it would probably benefit the players and the unions because the more they play, the more possibility of bigger contracts in the future. Do you guys have any insight into that?
It might get down to money, though, because accrued season comes into how many games you're active in.
I think it has more to do with, and Bill has a very long-winded answer to this question that I wish I could remember the particulars of, but I think it comes down to the fact that the majority of your inactives every week aren't healthy, and that now opens the door for an inequity for teams. If one team has 3 injuries and another team has 6 injuries, one team has 3 more players on their game day roster.
I got you.
And I think that's generally what it comes down to.
That makes a lot of sense.
That gives you 8 players to be, you know, nicked up, but not bad enough to be on IR. And I think once you get beyond 8, if you have 10 injuries, now that's a lot harder.
Does that change now if they're going to do this disabled list with 4 weeks or 8 weeks?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that all unfolds.
But what you just said, Paul, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that, and that's certainly not anything that I invented. I think Bill has sort of alluded to that in the past.
Yeah. All right,
hey,
Mike.
One more thing.
Okay, one more thing.
To the conspiracy guy who said that Josh went to Denver to destroy them, I wish he would have went to Miami, the Jets, or Buffalo instead. Take it easy.
See you, Mike. Right.
Thanks, Mike.
Very good.
No,
call.
We sent Mangini to the Jets.
And then he beat us.
Tiff in Wisconsin. That's why they're so mad at him.
You didn't know the script.
The agreement was. Tiff, how you doing?
Tiff. He's back. Where you been? Hello.
Hey, hi everybody.
Hey.
I'm getting out of it, you know, slowly but surely. I just have a question. How are we doing so far in the off season? And then second, I have a comment. My son is 13 years old who just moved to Texas in July, and he plays for an elite football organization down there, and he just made defensive end. He's a starter, and he's also a tight end, and he absolutely loves Gronkowski. So I felt like calling when you guys were talking about Gronkowski and how kids are now really looking up to the tight end. It's just phenomenal.
Just but don't also, let him go to YouTube.
Don't let him what?
Don't let him watch him on YouTube.
Why?
There's a lot of partying going on.
Oh, he's a bit of a you know what, Gronkowski. But my son absolutely loves him. How did we do in the off season? Number one, number two. What do you think we'll do in the draft?
The off season's not over, but I think so far, I think the Patriots have done very well gathering depth, and I think they addressed a key need in Brandon Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've done well with depth, and they addressed a wide receiver issue. They've kept Deion Branch. He's coming back. They brought in Dante Stallworth. So I think that wide receiver core right now is better than it was last year, period.
Well, yeah, that's a fact,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Now we got to work on defense.
Now that Branch is back, the wide receiver, everybody knocks down. You've added
right.
an 80-catch potential type guy. Yeah. Defense, I still have major, major concerns.
Right. So that's what we got to do from now, this point on, is focus on defense.
What about secondary?
Well, yeah,
that's defense.
Yeah, safety that's help, okay. Cornerback help, pass rush, the whole thing. The back end of the defense, they've brought in a couple guys up front. Another option up there is Okoye, supposedly they've met with, which I threw out there. Remember when I threw that out there and said, he's a guy they'll be interested in?
I do remember you said that.
When the tweet came out from Adam Kaplan today, I retweeted and said, as expected.
You know, now, Tiff, that's
he was a favorite of both you and I in another one of those draft misses.
Now, that's not to say they haven't done anything on defense. They brought in Fanene, who is going to get a lot of action on the defensive line. This Trevor Scott, am I getting his name right?
You are, and I know you love him because he works out on YouTube.
Well, I saw some impressive things that he was doing, although he looks a little small.
I wish he had highlights that are of him playing football.
Yeah, but people are talking to him in the Mike Vrabel mold.
Does that mean we're giving up on Ninkovich?
No, he's another one.
Oh, okay.
We have 1A and 1.
What,
you know,
what
Harold Miner.
The line, the O line with Matt Light, isn't he retiring? I think someone. My Jets fan sent me an email.
It sounds like Matt Light is indeed retiring, and Logan Mankins with the ACL could be a little bit of an issue to start training camp. But they have, I mean, it sounds like Brian Waters hasn't officially retired, so I'm assuming now he's coming back. We're far enough along in this process, and they signed Robert Gallery as some guard insurance, maybe some in tackle insurance. But you have Nate Solder. You took him with the 17th pick for a reason, and that was to be your left tackle. He's going to get the chance.
All right, guys. It's great talking to you. I'll continue listening when I feel up to it. Take care.
Okay. Keep us updated on your son.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued.
Good luck to your son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tiff.
You know what? He's got video, so I'd love to send it to you.
Cool.
So send him in.
We'll watch him.
Send it to Freddie. He loves YouTube.
I'll put him on my draft watch list for whatever it would be, 2018 or something.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tiff.
That's Tiff in Wisconsin.
There will be a lot of those, by the way, that, you know, you watch that, like, Army game, and they'll list some, like, the Little League thing, favorite player. Rob Gronkowski will become a big one of those in the next year or two.
All right. Web radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's the A Stick and Hotline. Excuse me. Got a hot pepper in my mouth. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it? Right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Who's lunch by? Most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew. Thank you, James. Need to talk to you about alpacas at some point. Let's go to some of the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Jeevan writes in. He says, slow week in Patriots land. No, it isn't. But still looking forward to hearing you guys argue. I still think we need to add a running back, especially for the red zone. We were talking about that earlier. What do you guys think about bringing in Ryan Grant at a reduced role? I don't think much about Turbin other than he's jacked. What other moves do you guys see the Patriots making before the draft, whether that's through free agency or trades? Finally, what are you guys hearing on any suggested rule changes? I would like to see the game officiated like it was in the playoffs.
What exactly does he not like about Turbin?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the 3,000 yards in his sophomore and senior seasons wrapped around the ACL injury. I mean, the guy made plays. I mean, you can level a competition, but he had a lot of yards. He was very productive in college, and he ran a very good time at the combine, and he just happens to have large arms, but...
Would you take him with the 31st pick?
No.
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 How high would you go?
Our second round pick, I might consider it.
Okay.
I need to do a little more research on it. I really liked what I saw from him on tape. I think he's a pretty good player. And I think there's a position of need there.
Well, you and I both came in the next day. It's like, did you see that guy?
Yeah, but that was based mostly on his 40 time and his arms.
Right.
The more research I've done, I've now watched some game tape. The more I know about him coming back from the ACL and having a very good year, he's a very productive, big play kind of guy. I'm intrigued.
Okay. Jim writes in, a couple shows ago, you were all dismissive of the compensatory pick system and those picks as a whole. I must remind you that we picked up one Tom Brady due to one of those compensatory picks. I don't know who the Jag free agent was that left to give us that pick, but he's the second most valuable player on the Patriots in the past 15 years. It's a complicated system, to be sure, but it has benefited this organization tremendously. That's Jim in Ottawa.
Second most?
What?
Brady's the second most valuable player?
No,
on the
guy that left.
Oh,
that we...
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We were dismissive because you can't trade him, and they're seventh-round picks a lot of the time, and they make our days longer on the
draft.
We're
dismissive because they're dismissive.
Yeah.
They're mostly useless.
No, I think we said at the time we were kind of looking at it from... just having to cover it.
A selfish point of view.
Yeah.
And we were right. They wouldn't get any because of what happened last offseason.
Right.
Right again, PFW. And I was just talking to our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, on the way back from the Gronk event. I don't buy that there's a complicated formula. It's easy for us to just go off the top of our head, yeah, they won't get any, and they don't. I don't think there's this real intricate formula. I think the NFL just makes it up. There's some guy who sits down, looks at the lists, and throws it out there. I don't buy a formula.
Well, a lot of listeners and, you know, people on the message boards, Pats fans, they seem to have it forecast properly every year.
Justin writes in, I have a question. Now that Peyton Manning is with the Broncos, what do you think will happen to the Patriots-Colts rivalry? It was fueled by the success of Manning and Brady in their early years and has been a heated one ever since. Now that Manning has left Indy, do you think that the rivalry will fade away, continue on, or follow him to Denver?
Well, don't forget Bill Polian left Indy, too.
It's in Indy, I think it's dead because of that. I think so there still would have been some spark there. You have Luck coming in, and maybe he can be the next Manning, who knows. And if you had Polian still there with that animosity, but I think the rivalry is now dead. It goes with Manning to Denver, though, I think.
Yep.
Sure.
Lance writes in, and we were talking about Bill Parcells being asked to take over, or, you know, not asked formally yet, but discussed as taking over as the Saints head coach for a year.
Do you think the Hall of Fame plays anything in that?
Well, this is what Lance says. He says he thinks the reason that Parcells doesn't want to coach the Saints is because he doesn't want to affect his Hall of Fame ballot. If he coaches them, he has to wait another 5 years. My last thing is, what do you think about the Patriots trading for Asante Samuel? Well, first on Parcells, if they offered him a boatload of money, that would be the determining factor. I think money could sway him because the Hall of Fame will always be there.
Yeah, but if you die before you go in.
Well, I mean, you don't think that you're going to die within the next 5 years. And if you do, then you have bigger problems in the Hall of Fame.
But you do when you start to get up there and you've had some failing health issues. Right. Yeah, you do. You wonder.
Paul knows.
Am I going to be around in 5 years? I think that's definitely a factor.
Did that just get to you, the Paul knows part?
No, I had cookie in my mouth. I couldn't laugh.
As opposed to a hot pepper.
Jackie.
Which I'm glad it was not a euphemism for something else.
Speaking of that, is Eric going to call in?
Well, I don't know. Getting a thumbs up from...
He's going to call in a few minutes.
That'll be the most entertaining.
He's got a towel off from the beach. John writes in with a limerick. He says, can our two ones get us a top six?
No.
Or will Bill just trade down his picks? So in Bill, should we trust for one more wide-out bust? And could Paul's butt cause a solar eclipse?
Nice.
I would have gone gut there, actually, instead of butt.
And he also says, how come guys just saw J-Lo's nip slip, and why is Eric such a pompous drip?
That has been a discussion of late, a lot on Twitter. People, you know, they're going to trade
J-Lo's
down.
J-Lo's nip slip?
No. Well, that, yes, probably in other aspects of Twitter, I'm sure it is. But I'm starting to get the feeling, just a vibe. Is there a chance they trade up with one and down and out with the other in the first round?
Trade up with one and down and out with the other. I wouldn't rule out anything. You know?
I think there's a good chance they trade one of the picks.
Going
down
up with
and out.
One, you can only go so far, right?
Yeah, I'm just talking about like we talked about last week, to get up to 22 to get, you know, Mark Barron.
So you trade a two?
Yeah, a one and a two or whatever. And then you trade the one out and probably add not only next year, but a five and a six so that the parade doesn't pass him by at the end of the draft.
Right.
Which at that point, is the parade all that impressive?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out anything. I'm sure that they believe everything's on the table, depending on how the board, you know, falls to them.
And didn't I blog this? You can get to 10, right? 31 and 27 gets
something
you to
like
10,
that.
I believe,
yeah.
Was the thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can go. You have two twos, so if you want to throw those in, you can probably get up to five.
Right.
But, I mean, is that likely? Trent Richardson.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Why? They didn't sign Benny.
No, I'm saying they're not going to trade all four picks to move up as high as they can.
He said don't rule anything out.
Yeah, I would rule that out.
Asher is in Illinois. He says, personally, I have big hopes for next year. Offensively, we're getting depth at wide receiver, which was one of our biggest offensive needs last year. I think this gives us hope that Belichick will go D in the draft. That, combining with restructuring, could mean moving up. At the very least, I think we go mainly defense in the draft this year. That being said, what do you think of the pass rushers that we could reasonably get?
What?
Pass rushers. Yeah, in the draft.
Well, what's his name's on the rise? The Illinois kid. I see him all over the place.
Mercilus?
Like, top 10 pick. That is a little concerning for me.
Yeah.
Because he's the one I kind of had targeted with my fear of, well, he's a one-year wonder, but he's a damn good one-year wonder. I'll take him. And Ingram is going to be gone. I mean, the Perry kid I don't love from what I've seen on him on tape.
I don't.
Even though he seems like the prototypical Belichick. He also said he wants to play end, though, right?
Yep.
He was pretty much on the record wanting to play end, even though he looks like he can play both. And I watched him against one of the tackles on the tackles reel, quote-unquote, thoroughly underimpressed by him.
Okay.
So I'm I mean, those are some of the names.
It's not like last year.
No, which is why I wanted him to take one last year when they were good ones. This year,
Branch
the
from,
places where you can
Clemson
get,
is another guy that's sort of in that late first round, early second round mix. I don't love him.
This is a year where the positions they need, pass rusher and safety, well, safety is not very good at all in terms of high-end talent or a wealth of riches near the top. But cornerback, I think they're going to get a good corner somewhere. And, you know, some people wonder, could he have to go corner again? I think you can get a starting corner in the late second, third round in this draft. That's a there's going to be a lot of corners drafted. Although the Jenkins one is interesting.
I am intrigued by
that. Could be a decision Jenkins. For them. That because my guess is he's going to go right in that 24 to 31 two round, and you know his talent is probably above that.
Doesn't
and
it just make sense for a Patriots pick because of that?
Yeah, except
if he's that big of a
DB.
DB.
I mean,
knows?
He got kicked off by Will Muschamp, so you assume Bill's going to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Is this kid a DB or is he something that I can kind of work with? And because he had been arrested before, it wasn't just the two that got him kicked off. He had been arrested under Meyer too. So two coaches that Bill's pretty close with know how much of a DB this guy is.
Yeah, I would take the chance, but I don't have the information that they have.
Right. I mean,
it might be
problem.
Just so much that they say this is just a bad guy.
He seems like a punk. I'm
it's
not
inevitable.
Lie. I'm not sure he's a bad guy, but a punk can hurt you.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying he's going to murder somebody. But that doesn't mean he's going to be a good fit and put everything you need into it either.
I just think it's one of those guys, just because of the way Andy put it, you know, it's a guy that's only available to you because of this.
Right.
You know, like Aaron Hernandez was only available in the fifth round because of the issues that he had. And Marcus Cannon was only available in the fifth round because of his health reason. This, to me, reeks of a guy like that.
But they
value.
Passed on those guys before.
Value. I can get right? this guy only because he's available.
I mean, they passed on Dez Bryant in a similar situation. There was another one. I don't know. But they've passed
on
some
of those
guys.
You don't know if they passed
before.
On him for those reasons.
Right. Maybe they weren't that impressed with him like me.
Right. All right. Well, now calling in from the beautiful Breakers Hotel in West Palm Beach, Florida, Eric Scalavino, our man on the scene. Eric, how you doing?
Doing great. It is beautiful, like you said. Taking a quick break from all the activity
Logging.
Here. Came out to the back end of the hotel where the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean stretches up before us. The waves are breaking, as the hotel's resort's name would suggest, and it's a gorgeous day. Wonderful day to be at work.
So tell us about this morning's breakfast with the coaches. I know Bill Belichick, there were reports yesterday that he wasn't going to talk. Tom Curran tweeted out that he told him, you know, go out and get some sun, but he did in fact
get some sun.
That's what he did. He told Bell Curran, go get some sun.
Yeah, he did. Those were his exact words. I was in the vicinity when it happened. But yeah, he did show up. He was a little bit late, about 15 minutes later than expected. He was the last coach to show up. To his credit, though, he stayed a few extra minutes after the session had ended to finish up with some questions. Got off to a very slow and kind of a rocky start.
Was he sick? I heard he was under the weather.
He could have been. He could have been. That might have been one explanation for the sorliness of his attitude. Certainly wasn't the warm and glowing Belichick that we saw at the Super Bowl last month, at least not initially. It took him about a full hour to warm up and to get going and to crack a smile. But eventually he did open up a little bit. Predictably, when the questions turned more to, you know, historical type things, Paul Brown came up, and that opened up the floodgates for those kind of questions. And he loosened up a bit. Somebody else asked him about London, not me, surprisingly. Somebody else did, and so it ended on a good note. It ended on a high note, but it got off to a very slow start.
Anything newsworthy coming out of it?
Really, no. I mean, he was asked about, you know, all the things that are topical right now, obviously Welker, Matt Light, some of the free agent signings, Brandon Lloyd, the fullback really didn't give any indication, any insight as to why any of those moves were made. The Robert Gallery one, too, in particular, was interesting because he didn't really dispute anything about Logan Mankins having the knee surgery, but he said, you know, Logan, no one's ever questioned Logan's toughness. I'll just leave it at that. So that, to me, was sort of a tacit acknowledgement that there was something going on with Logan and that Gallery signing might have something to do with that. As for anything else news-wise, no, it was it was really tough. It was really like getting blood from a stone.
Eric, did he have anything to say about any of the proposed rule changes or anything NFL-related going on right now? I know last year he was pretty interesting, right?
Well, last year he was very outspoken about the kickoff change rule in particular and went on at length about that. So using that as my jumping-off point, I asked him if he had any strong feelings one way or the other on any of the 14 proposals that were put forth this year, and he looked me straight in the eye and said, nope. And we continued to stare at each other for about 5 seconds before our friend Ian Rappaport from the Herald jumped in with another question.
Your friend, no, not ours.
And then somebody else tried to bring up the topic later about rules changes and proposals, and he gave the very similar type of response saying, nope, whatever the league decides, that's what we'll do. You know, like I said, didn't really feel like he wanted to be there, but made the effort, came, showed up. Maybe he was feeling sick. But, you know, he put forth the effort, and, you know, no one can complain now that they didn't have access to him. He was made available, and he stayed, and might be the last we see of him until the draft.
It sounded like when he was asked about Sean Payton, he didn't come right out and say it, but he kind of stuck up for his fellow coach. Do you remember that response?
Yeah, he did. That subject came up a couple of times. The first time he was just like, yeah, I don't have any information. I don't know. I'm not going to bother. And then later when it came up again, he sort of, he seemed like he wanted to say something without really getting too involved. And he sort of grudgingly said, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, but I'm not going to go into it any further than that. Wouldn't say whether or not he talked with Sean because somebody directly asked him, you know, you have a relationship with Sean. Did you talk to him at all? And he said, you know, his standard pat answer of, you know, any conversations between myself and coaches or other players are confidential, all that. But yeah, he wouldn't really delve into any of the controversial topics. Tebow to the Jets wouldn't really comment on that. You know, we're just worried about our football team, all that stuff.
So, right.
Nothing really earth shattering from Belichick today.
Why did Paul Brown come up?
I believe it was Jared Bell from USA Today doing some sort of story on either Belichick or Paul Brown or both of them, and he started that line of questioning. So that's how that came up. But we did have a chance to talk to Robert yesterday, Robert Kraft, which was a little bit more revealing with some of the topics that Belichick got today, too. As far as Wes Welker was concerned, said, you know, he hopes that there's a resolution to that soon, wants Welker to be a Patriot long-term. You know, there's been reports that Welker's agents are in town, and that might be a cause for optimism that maybe they're, you know, getting together and talking. He wouldn't really confirm that or not, but all indications are that, you know, they're going to try to get something done with Welker. I would say that the odds are more in favor of that than not at this point. And as far as other free agent signings, Brady restructuring his contract, freeing up the extra money on the cap. Asked Robert about that too, and he said, you know, I wouldn't hold your breath for anything imminent, but that doesn't mean we're not going to make any more moves, and wouldn't say whether or not that was free agent or draft related.
Right. Okay, well, what's on the docket for the rest of the day?
There's actually nothing official scheduled. You know, I'm here with Brian Lowe, our friend from Patriots Today. We're going to obviously stay and hang around until we start seeing people leave tonight. There is some activity tomorrow. The NFC coaches are gathering in the morning for their breakfast. They split it up this year, AFC one day and the other day. Last year they did both at the same time. But aside from that, there's not a whole lot. The commissioner had a press conference late last night, and that was mostly Saints-related questions. There were a couple of questions about the cap penalties given to the Cowboys and the Redskins. But that was pretty much the thrust of his Q&A with reporters yesterday. He's going to do another one later tomorrow to wrap up the owners' meeting, the annual meeting,
And later in the day, there's going to be a conference call with the competition committee chair, Rich McKay, going over any of the rule changes that were approved. So we'll get some of that information later tomorrow night, and hopefully get some reaction. We're hoping to try to get Jonathan Kraft, Patriots president, who's around here as well. We've seen him a few times in the hallway. We're going to hope to try to talk to him on maybe some of those rule changes in particular, and where the Patriots stand on any of those. So that's what we're going to expect for the next day and a half or so, and then we'll be back in Foxborough.
All right. Well, thanks, Eric. We'll be following you on the blog very closely. Have a good time down there. Make sure B-Lo behaves, because I know he can get crazy like Gronk.
So. Yes, he did. It was good to see Gronk getting out there and serving people at Dunkin' Donuts today. So Andy was out there?
Yep, Andy was out there with Chris Ferreira taking photos, so we were all over that one.
Good stuff.
All right, Eric. Good job. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Take care, guys.
All right. Eric Scalavino apparently reporting from some submarine or
or Beirut
inside the killer whale tank at the aquarium. I don't know what was.
Wait, what was?
It's probably these crappy iPhones you got us.
Oh,
I was having all kinds of problems trying to tweet photos and send things.
Is that right?
It wasn't like going through.
Oh, yeah,
that might be Verizon.
It was the same thing when I was at the dialing thing last week, and I was having a hard time with Twitter. It was on the old phone though, not this one. And I just thought it was maybe because there was a lot of activity going on. That was the time that the Manning stuff was coming to a head.
Right. Could be.
I just thought Twitter was blowing up.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great.
Hey, Joe.
Good. Hey,
better now that you're replacing Eric on the phone.
You know what? I can't give you a weather report from Florida. I wish
thanks.
I could. You know, apparently he can put that on the resume. You know, he's an artist. He's a weatherman, you know.
Well done, Joe. Well done right there.
You're already way better than Eric ever was.
Hey, I try. What are you going to do?
Evidently, Andy and Paul, not the only two annoyed with that.
with everybody thinks Matt Light's going to retire. Right now, before the draft, before free agency, who's our starting five? Who do you put where?
Well, Solder's your left tackle.
Mankins is your left guard.
Mankins, Conley, Waters,
right.
And Vollmer.
And Vollmer.
Yeah. That will be my starting five.
And then you got Cannon.
Now, when the ACL blows out and the back blows out, who do you replace Vollmer and Mankins with?
Exactly.
Gallery at guard.
And Cannon at tackle.
And cross my fingers, Cannon at right tackle.
Now, would you want to switch that? Because I wouldn't.
We'll switch what?
Gallery and Cannon?
No, I'm not sure Cannon can play tackle in the NFL. Gallery seems to have proven
pretty
he can.
Sure that he can't
for multiple teams.
See, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, right now, like Solder was, I think, a gift to us last year because some people thought we took him too high, and you know, with Sebastian having the back problem and all that, he stepped in, and then the third tight end when he was able to get in there and everything. I just, you know, people keep talking pass rusher and cornerback, which is what we absolutely need, but. Our line's getting pretty thin again really quick. And, you know, Waters isn't a young guy anymore. And Sebastian with the problems. And, you know, Gallery, of course. And, you know, Mankins with the injury. And Matt Light. It seems like there's not a lot of good offensive linemen in this draft. I mean, even the two guys that were graded at first rounders, I think, Konst and who's that other guy? Reef or whatever?
Khalil
is going to go, like, three overall.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's gone. Yeah.
Yeah, the kid out of Iowa.
There's a guard out of Stanford, DeCastro, is supposed to be like in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, there's going to be five or six offensive linemen, if not more.
There's some good tackles.
Yeah, that's Coons.
Cons. Peter Coons.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And the other question I have for you guys, and this is a hypothetical since you guys were talking about it, you trade all four picks. You trade your two firsts and your two seconds. Who's the one guy in the draft, can't miss position-wise, that you're absolutely taking?
Trent Richardson?
I figured that's what Andy would want. I have a hard time arguing for it.
I mean, against it, rather. The two quarterbacks are great, and then Khalil's pretty good. I mean, it's not sexy.
But you wouldn't be trading four picks for
a tackle. Certainly not this team. I think a team could want a franchise left tackle like that, and he's very impressive on tape. Sometimes those top tackles don't live up to the hype in my mind. Last year was one of those years where I was watching him, and they were good, and you saw this. He is by far the best in a while that I can. I didn't like Jake Long. I like him way more than I like Jake Long.
And Jake Long is has panned out.
Right. I mean, I told you I watch him too, and I just love his feet. He's
power
able,
and agility.
Yeah, he's able to get in position so that when he makes that first punch, he's got perfect leverage.
And I kind of criticized last year
Smith.
Smith. You know, he was a right tackle that Dallas was going to draft in the top. Now I know why he was a right tackle. Because the guy at left tackle was 10 times the player he is. I think he is light years ahead of a guy who was drafted number 9 overall last year. I think Khalil is up there as maybe one of the best overall prospects in the draft.
But to Joe's point, I wouldn't put it past the Patriots. If a guy, remember Mankins, they didn't expect Mankins to be where he was or something like that. They had to pick him.
Well, they got him 32nd, right?
Right. People were saying, "Why you never pick a guard in the first round?" They said, "No, we didn't expect him to be at 32," and they
but you didn't
him.
Trade up.
No, they didn't trade up. But
I mean, that's not Bill like.
But I think at 27 or 31, I could see them picking an offensive line.
Oh yeah, right, yeah. Okay. But he was talking about trading up.
Now, if you do that though,
hypothetical, I would never want to trade my first four picks for one guy unless like. He's going to run for 2,000 yards every year or sack the quarterback 26 times a year.
I wouldn't do it for Richardson either. I do think he's a dynamic player
in
this draft.
I wouldn't do it, but if I were going to do it, it would probably be between Khalil and Richardson.
It would have to be for a quarterback for me.
Is Khalil the best like left tackle prospect since like Orlando Pace?
Good. He's probably as good as I can remember watching since we've been doing this for the last 8 or 9 years.
I'm not the offensive line expert.
Yeah, Paul rarely watches them.
But I did watch them this year. I'll tell you that. I did watch them this year, and I'm equally...
All of them?
No, not every single one. But I saw Khalil, and I'm as impressed as Fred and you are.
He's very good.
You know, it was amazing, Joe, when you watch the tackles, and I think I did see every tackle with Andy, almost every guy on that, you know, that wide rush, that edge rush, The pass rusher gets about halfway centered on the tackle's body. So he's on the outside shoulder of the tackle. That never happened to Khalil. When you watch his tape, the guy's always centered on him.
Yep.
Because his feet are so quick.
Yep.
And his punch, like Fred said, I mean, I'm not the offensive line expert, but it just looked different when he was doing it as opposed to every other guy I watched. Yeah. It was no match.
He just looked like he was overall stronger.
Stronger, faster, more agile. Yeah.
And one of the big things with them is it's almost like corner is that ability to play under control.
Right.
He is so confident in his skills that this guy's not getting by me. He never gets overextended.
It starts with his feet.
You know what?
It starts with his feet.
The whole cliche, it looked easy to him. Well, it looked
always
easy.
Does.
It always looked easy to him on tape.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But, Joe, would you you talk about offensive line, and I do agree with you. There's a need there at offensive line. I mean, they are getting a little bit old and a little bit thin, but would you want to take one of those top picks on an offensive line? You know, to use Fred's example, Logan Mankins at 32 stepped in and started for you immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have an offensive lineman that would step in.
Yeah, I mean – from what little I've seen this year, it does. I mean, I definitely don't want to trade up personally.
I just mean, at 27
Khalil,
or 31,
I don't think anybody's worth it. But I mean, if one of them gets there, if there goes a run on like DN/linebacker, and you guys aren't there, if you know, like the Jenkins kid isn't there and stuff like that. I mean, if there's really nobody there, and one of these kids who you thought maybe would go at, you know, 19 or 15.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
At 27?
They would do it.
Sure. I mean,
I'll be very, very upset if that happens. I'll tell you that.
Well, but I mean, you have to field your best 53. And I don't care. I'd rather have a guy who's going to play for me at offensive line than somebody who I feel that I have to take at D end or linebacker who I'm not that comfortable with.
Yeah, but that's a hypothetical that's very unrealistic. It's a difference between a guy who can play and a guy who can't play at 27.
Well, yeah, I understand.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I just think to me, like, you know, cornerback is a need, and you know, you can still say defensive line in some aspects, you know, especially on the edge and all that. But if there's a guy who's there who you don't think is worth it, but because he fills that position of need is there, you know, you have to take him. And I don't think Belichick really ever does that, but you know, people do that sometimes. And I just think if one of those guards or tackles falls and you think he's worth it, yeah, I mean, I'll spend another first rounder on an offensive lineman if it makes my team better.
Yeah, I think they would too.
Well, I hope it doesn't happen.
I hope it doesn't, but I think it makes your team better. They would.
I just don't like it.
If you get another Logan Mankins, that doesn't make your team better?
No.
Oh.
Not unless you're replacing the Logan Mankins that you have.
What about on the other side?
Well, no, but not unless you're replacing the Brian Waters that you have.
Okay, but Brian Waters maybe has 1 year left.
Right, this is last year.
No, listen, I understand what you're saying, but it doesn't make your team better now, and I think that you are in the position right now to win a Super Bowl.
but it might. Okay, if you draft a starting right tackle and then Cannon plays guard next year and you've solidified your offensive line for the future.
Under Joe's hypothetical, yes, I am in favor of taking the offensive lineman because Joe's hypothetical is the other guy you're not sure about, this guy you're sure about. In that case, I'll take the offensive lineman. That's never the case. Don't tell me that the offensive lineman is the only guy, and I'm not picking on Joe here because he made a hypothetical.
He's yelling at you, Joe.
You know, Joe's hypothetical, you know,
you're going into the SPFW bin.
But no. I think he's right to phrase it the way he phrased it, but it's never the offensive lineman is the only guy that can play and everybody else can't play. There's going to be, you know, dozens of guys that can play.
No, but he's saying available it's a guy 27. That you thought was going to go.
I would rather have a guy at almost any other position than offensive line at 27.
He's talking about a guy that you had
provided that he can play.
He's talking about a guy you had valued in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, don't tell me
the
there's
bottom.
Not going to be a guy at another position that you had valued in the middle of the first round that drops to 27. That's all I'm saying.
If we believe Bill in the past, he says there were six guys at that spot that we wanted.
Right.
That's why he always trades down.
Well, that's a different case.
It seems to me that this draft is top heavy and that it, like, right about maybe 8 or 9, there's a drop-off, and then there's not really, I mean, to me it seems like there's not really, you know, to quote Bill, good value until the second round. It almost seems like that late first round, you're hoping for somebody to fall, or you're overreaching. I think we'll actually see 2 or 3 teams trade out of the late first round.
You could, but I think there are positions in this draft that are good, that are deep.
I think
there's others that suck.
I think because of a lot of things, the Peyton Manning and Tim Tebow, I think the draft talk has gotten a late start this year. And I think now it's starting to
heat
up.
You're right about that.
Yeah. And you're going to hear more, and it's going to seem like the draft gets a little deeper over the next 2 weeks.
But you know what's so overrated is end of first, early second, the value.
Right.
Just pick a good player. Because if you take Rozai Dowling at 26 or 33, if he can play, he can play. And if he can't, he can't. And all this, well, you know, they have the 31st pick, which is almost a second, or they have the 33rd, which is almost a first. Just pick players. Who cares whether he's a second or a first or a late this or an early that? If he can play, you'll never regret it.
Right. All right, Joe, thanks for the call.
Good stuff, Joe.
Do you guys think it's laughable now that the Ursae, I guess, I was going to say the Colts, but it's really Ursae, saying publicly they really don't know if they're going to pick Luck or RG3. I think that's crazy.
I think it's fine to keep that out there, that speculation.
I know, but
it doesn't.
If it's true, I'm saying if it's true.
But why? I mean, I would think it is true. I mean, I think they're going to take Luck, but what benefit would it be for them to say, I don't know who we're going to pick?
Because up until.
It's not like there's any trade value to it.
Up until the end of the college season, nobody was talking about quarterback like Luck. And RG3 wasn't up there.
He did win
the
Heisman.
Yeah, then he won the Heisman and he had a good pro day.
But he won the Heisman because he was good all year.
I know, but a lot of guys have won Heismans that, you know, don't translate to the NFL.
But he didn't come out of nowhere.
No, he didn't, but he wasn't in the same conversation as Andrew Luck.
That is true.
You know?
That is true. Andrew Luck was the number one pick a year ago and the year before that. But you know what? That happens all the time.
But by the end of the football season, Griffin was in that conversation. But no question, Luck is widely regarded as the number one prospect.
Right.
But Griffin also got helped by Cam Newton. The fact that Cam Newton came in, started,
that's
and
a great
threw
point.
For 4,000 yards.
That's true.
There's now this belief that these athletic, strong-arm quarterbacks can play right away and win games.
Yeah.
And that's what Griffin has. He has all that working for him.
Honestly.
And Luck is boring.
Speaking
There's
honestly,
no way to argue.
If
Luck
the
is
Colts,
boring.
If you were the Colts, would you have any indecision there?
Would I have any indecision? No.
You would pick Luck.
That's the safe pick. I think there's a chance Griffin's better. I do.
Over the long run.
Yeah. I think he's more dynamic if he can stay healthy. I think there's a very intriguing, I told you, he's Randall Cunningham. He just has that flick. He can win games. Now, I don't know if he'll be a championship quarterback. Luck is the easy pick. It's a pro-style offense. He uses his tight end. He reads. That's safe. And safe is fine. But sometimes excitement wins in the electric guy.
He's safe in that you've seen him do more traditional NFL things.
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Yes.
I would agree with that, but I also think that
he is very
talented.
Yes, he is.
You know, it's not like he's safe. He's not going to he's not going to press the ball into cover or whatever. Like, he's not going to make plays for you because he's safe.
No,
and I wouldn't.
You mean
he's athletic.
Yeah,
everyone's like, they're looking at, you know, obviously he's not as athletic as RG3, but this is a guy who ran a 4.5.
I thought he ran a 4.5 or
yeah.
He
I
ran
don't know the what
Cam
the
Newton
official.
Time.
I don't know
he
what
and
the official
Cam
was.
Newton were the same
he's
combine
no
numbers.
Steph back there. He's no Drew Bledsoe.
No, you're right. But you're absolutely right. He's got a lot more athleticism than those traditional pocket passers.
And RG3's arm is stronger.
And I saw
he's faster and has a stronger arm.
And I saw some stats on him.
So does Michael Vick.
Trent, Trent Dilfer broke something out yesterday on ESPN about, you know, he threw, I think, four pick sixes last year.
Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Okay.
And after that, you know, at, from the time in the game, the individual games that he threw the pick sixes, he had something like a 77% completion percentage for X amount of yards and X amount of touchdowns. No, I mean, like, ridiculously off the chart, showing that when bad things happen, he doesn't turtle. He responds.
Yeah, you know, but we've seen that with Tom Brady. Charlie type, or?
Well, he had a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, well, he's got a tight end that runs a 4.5.
Oh, okay. Now the tight end is making the quarterback.
He's
right.
A guy, by
Kobe
the way.
Fleener.
He scares me. I think he's going to be a very good NFL player, but now I'm seeing middle of the first round, 19th, 18th pick and
pump
stuff.
The brakes. I thought he might be a valuable guy for teams like the Patriots at the end of the first round.
Sure.
Everybody's looking for that tight end. That might be a chip if he's available down there that you might see Bill say, well, yeah, you know, so-and-so was calling and, you know.
I think he's good, not
we
great.
Took advantage of them and got some extra picks and they got their tight end.
You know who he's named after, Fred?
Who?
Joe Jacoby.
Oh.
Jacoby Fleener. See, Jacoby.
Jonas in Durham says the Jets think that making a number two of Tebow is not going to shake Sanchez's confidence. Instead, they plan to make up a special package of plays for Tebow to run. How do they expect Sanchez not to be rattled with Tebow's package always in his face? I thought that was good. Let's go to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Eldridge, how did the Patriots screw up today?
That's funny. How y'all doing? I don't know. But I was thinking about the other caller and about the guard situation on the line. But I'm hoping we need to address that defensive end issue.
I agree.
You know.
Hell yeah.
Because who we picked up in free agency?
Trevor Scott.
Never heard of him.
Fred has.
Nor had I, and he had two sacks against the Patriots.
Two sacks.
Google him and look at his YouTube workout video.
Watch him work out, and you'll be impressed.
Very impressed.
He's got nothing about football.
Like, but those sacks were in the Castle game, though, right?
Yeah. Okay. But I still was watching the game. I should know the name.
Yeah, but it was about 100. Like
But, yeah, we have – that's a serious concern with Anderson gone and with Carter in limbo. I got to think Carter's going to come back, right, to training camp, that they're going to bring him back. He's going to want to come
back.
I
would think that signs seem to be pointing that direction. They're getting him healthy.
But
and
that doesn't really – I mean, you're
that
still –
doesn't solve your
you're
problem.
Still minus one,
still
and even the returner
one.
Is a guy old coming
he's
off a major injury.
Yeah, you don't know if he's – even if he was healthy, you don't know if
right.
when's the last one.
He
know?
Thought he was done last year.
But I thought we addressed that tight end issue when they picked up the free agent Fails for this year.
We did.
So with the three, with Gronk, Hernandez, and Fails, I thought the tight end issue would
yes.
be settled right there.
Yeah. It is. Why are you doubting
you're
that
talking
now?
My because comment I that talking. I made about Fleener?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I meant that that pick would become attractive to a team maybe in the second round.
A fleece for Fleener.
That's looking for a tight end might want to deal with the Patriots, and obviously Belichick's always on the lookout for that kind of a trade where you have the guy, you know,
okay.
like last year with the Saints, they obviously wanted Mark Ingram, and they targeted that spot, figuring that's around the spot that he's going to go.
And then
and
when they put
the
something in their sights, they get it, whether it's a quarterback or...
Oh, man.
Well, I hope they...
Okay, well...
Eldridge, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You still there?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I hope they don't trade out. I hope they use the 27th pick and get maybe Branch. And then on the 31st, get Stephen Hill. I don't care what anybody
says. I don't care what anybody says either. I want Stephen Hill.
4-3-6.
Okay. I like Stephen Hill.
All right, Eldridge, thanks for the call.
I don't know if you've heard, you can't coach speed.
And I came away very impressed with Stephen Hill on his combine. Didn't shy away from the talk about his you know, wishbone offense and all that stuff and the triple option. And he goes, yeah, what do you have to do to show them, you know, a lot of questions were about the lack of sophistication in his offense. He said, listen, I have to go out and show these people that I know how to run routes. And he actually used some of it as positives. He said, listen, I blocked a lot.
Right.
And they're looking for wide receivers that can do different things in the NFL. I can block. I had to in order to stay on the field. And he makes no bones about it. I mean, he basically ran go routes. He did them very effectively, averaging almost 30 yards a catch as a senior in his last year. I mean, I think that Andy's right about him. There's some guys that have some qualities that you just can't teach,
and you watch
he has
him.
Them.
He caught the ball well at the combine in the routes and the positional drills. And the other thing is, all you people that believe Josh McDaniels now has a significant voice, well, he took Demaryius Thomas in the same situation, a guy who didn't catch a lot of balls coming out of Georgia Tech because he had speed and big playability. And I think in Denver, they're relatively happy with it.
Yeah. Seemingly every move we make now is something that Josh did.
Well, that's what I mean. Everybody seems to think that Josh is like has Bill's ear. Like, what he gets, he wants.
Well, I think he does Bill, more than
Bill's
he used
to. I think Bill's in semi-retirement.
Honestly, I think what Josh went through, being a head coach, now puts him at a different level with Bill Belichick.
Well, yeah, Bill said that.
Yes.
But what he went through was systematically tearing down a franchise.
And thus becoming the most hated man
literally,
in sports
Mike
in Denver.
No, not Mike. Was it Mike?
Mike Kliss
was on our show. Told us he's the most hated man in Denver.
I know.
And all these Patriots fans think we sent him to Denver to ruin
a
franchise.
But wasn't Bill Belichick one of the most hated men in Cleveland when he left Cleveland?
Yes.
Okay.
He
so
probably still.
So
is.
They relate. There's a shared experience there that they didn't have before.
No, my only question is, are you confident in what Josh is telling you? If he has your ear, or you have his ear, whatever.
Right.
Someone's ear is
missing. Someone's ear's got a mouth. Are you confident that, he's right. I want to make personnel decisions based on him.
No, I think that Bill sees.
And I love Josh.
I think
despite
my point
that
is,
shot I just took at
Bill,
you, Josh.
Bill sees past all the mistakes that McDaniels made as a head coach, being a first-time head coach, and sees through that to the real talent he had. You know, because he does have talent, Josh McDaniels. There's no doubt about it.
Well, whoa. We know he has talent coaching.
Right. And
what are you pointing at him for?
This guy. All of a sudden, Josh is now back to being great.
No, but listen, he's here. I think even
we
when
forget Andy all and the I thought he was great all along.
I'm sure.
You don't have to convince
us. I'm sure
us.
Even was, when he was here and eventually earned the title of offensive coordinator, part of that was recognizing personnel talent. I mean, it's not all just X's and O's. A lot of it is.
Sure.
Jimmy and Joe's, you know? So.
No, but he had some questionable moves in Denver. He had some clashes and things. Didn't.
Absolutely.
Well, you know the other thing, too, that I think that you make a good point about. You like that one, huh? The other thing, Freddie, that you brought up that I think is interesting is, you know, Bill did look at those things that Josh did, and he understands what he went through. And unlike us, sometimes we just sort of make knee-jerk reactions based on the scoreboard. I always call it scoreboard evaluations. Well, you know, Terry Bradshaw is better than Dan Marino because he won four titles and Marino won none. It's all about the scoreboard. Well, I don't think Bill looks at it that way. He looks at a decision and he says, well, what was the genesis of it? What was your thought process for doing this with Jay Cutler, for example, one of the more high-profile things he did?
He pissed me off.
What was your thought process in that? And I'm sure they've talked about this kind of stuff. And Bill doesn't look at it and say, wow, the aftermath of that really hurt you. Bill looks at it and says, it was a sound football decision, and I can understand what you did.
Right.
And, okay, it didn't work. Or I'm using that as an example, but
I
there were
you.
Probably 100 of those during his time in Denver to ultimately get to where Andy talked about systematically destroying the franchise.
Right.
But Bill looks at it.
There's no doubt things snowballed on the poor kid.
Well, listen,
it started with going to the bus.
And maybe they didn't work. Maybe a lot of these things, but maybe some of them were born out of, intelligent football thought.
Right.
And I think Bill probably has had discussions with him and said, well, you know, maybe in retrospect, you might not want to alienate your incoming quarterback so quickly. Or maybe he says, listen, he's not the right guy to run our system, and I can understand what you were thinking.
I actually agree with him on that.
I do, too. But you know what I'm saying?
But drafting a fullback in the first round to play quarterback was not a good decision.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And, he had some terrible drafts. Didn't he trade for another? Who the tight end he drafted? He traded a two for a one, a one for a two to get a tight end the following year. Scheffler? Was it Scheffler?
Tony Scheffler.
And then he drafted that one of those big cornerbacks in the second round. They ended up cutting like 2 years in. I mean, he had some bad second.
The guy out, was it Alfonso? Alfonso Smith,
I think. It was Alfonso. I mean, he had
a guy I really liked.
Bad second round picks, first round picks. There were some issues
there. He was a little in over his head.
And Robert Ayers hasn't really panned out for him either, right?
As everything.
No, but as a
too
personnel
much, too
guy,
soon. Too much,
he was
too soon.
He was over his head, it seems, more than coaching-wise.
Yeah.
Because coaching-wise, he took some guys together and won six games and was rolling. And,
right.
But it's just like, in, you know, it's kind of scary how similar it is to Bill in Cleveland. I mean, with the Kozar thing, it was right. What Bill did with Bernie Kozar was right, but ultimately it killed him.
Right.
It killed him. It stripped him of any goodwill with the Cleveland fans. And he was never able to get that back, even though he was right.
Yeah.
And I think that you could look at that logically and say, what happened to Kozar when he left?
Right.
He was a backup from that point on. He was never the guy that he was had been previously. He ultimately was born out to be correct, but it killed him. So sometimes you can be right and still lose.
That's true. Our benefactor on a weekly basis, James Pettigrew, of Marcus Dupree, wants to know, where would he have stood, injuries aside?
I love Marcus Dupree. Andy, never heard of him.
He's no Bo.
No, he was not a. He was not Bo.
He was not Bo.
He was. I mean, Bo. I mean, it's just a different.
Bo was one of a kind.
Yeah.
Never
I
again
agree.
Will there be a Bo.
But I loved Marcus Dupree because I had really not seen too many guys that size run the way he did. Andy never heard of him.
I've heard of him. I saw the documentary.
Yeah, that's the only reason why you heard of him.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys laughed at me. When
had
I said,
he been worthy
I really
of being
want to see
of.
That Marcus Dupree documentary. And you two just go,
well, that's. I mean, he should have heard of him.
You should have heard of him.
I was like four.
All I'm saying is hear of him.
You were older.
How old were you when Babe Ruth was playing baseball?
Now Marcus Dupree is Babe Ruth.
Could have been.
Could have been something. See the mountains over there?
Omar writes, and we haven't heard from him in a long time.
Nothing from the alpacas from James, huh?
He says, I'm glad Bill stacked up on wide receivers and super happy, although he spells it supper. we signed a playmaker like
happy.
Brandon Lloyd. It will greatly help Tom Brady in the offense, but I do not see us as going into the season with Ocho and Gonzalez. They should get cut after preseason, and as for trading for Ocho, Bill will get no more than a coupon for Red Lobster. What do you think about drafting Stephen Hill in the second round and going into the season with Lloyd, Welker, Hill, Stallworth, Branch, and Edelman? And what pass rusher do you see us getting? We need a right end, left end, outside linebacker, players in the draft, and a whole bunch of secondary guys. Also, I do not fully trust Ridley or Vereen, so would you draft a running back or rather get one in free agency? It's a lot there. He's happy with the wide receivers, wants Stephen Hill in the second round. Will
I'll
he
take
that?
Hill in the second,
but not where the Patriots.
I would have taken him in the first.
The Patriots, not where the Patriots are, though. Do you think he'll last all the way to the end of the second round?
I don't know.
Well, what about the first pick of the second round? Which one is that?
I don't know.
Oakland. Oakland's picks. That's middle.
Oh, middle, okay.
Middle to the top
I
third.
I should probably memorize these, huh?
Yeah.
What was the rest of it?
And we need a whole bunch of
I'm
other
just
people.
Starting well, on the video for through the D-line. I'm not excited about this draft in terms of impact edge guys. I'm really not.
Well, yeah, you should
I was
be.
Excited last year, and I was right, as 13 guys had like 7 sacks or more or whatever the number was, some ridiculous breakout season for rookie pass rushers. I'm not as excited this year. I'm sorry. So maybe our eggs are in Trevor Scott's workout basket.
And I like that you hear these insiders call him. He's more of a run guy.
Oh, good.
Runs up. Did you see that?
No.
Greg Bedard had some quotes from personnel people around the league, and one of them was pretty complimentary of Trevor Scott, but as a run guy, run support guy, not a pass rusher. One trick pony as a pass rusher, and not all that effective, according to this guy.
Okay.
That's your guy, Fred.
It's a scout or something. I don't know.
Omar brought up the wide receiver core, and he mentioned all these guys. Do you think there's any chance, obviously he's got to be healthy, that Anthony Gonzalez makes the team?
Yep. If he's healthy, I think there's a chance.
Makes the team?
Yeah.
Sure.
What about contributes throughout the season?
Yeah. Well, if he's healthy, then he'll probably contribute, because I'm guessing he'll play.
Do you think that...
I don't have much hope.
You don't?
I don't really either, but it all starts with health for him.
I mean, I think that we're probably going
Bill Polian says that this is...
Well, Bill Polian's just trying to cover his ass for a guy he drafted in the first round.
Okay.
I think there's
I
probably
just wanted
something
you to say that.
There's probably, something, there's probably something to that. I don't know if you're
yes.
being, you know, exaggerating.
No, I think that's why he did it.
I think there's something to that. I mean, I think if we're probably using the liberal definition of the term contribute.
Catch a pass.
If he catches a few passes, is that considered a contribution?
No. Well, what's a few?
I don't know, 15?
No.
Ocho-like?
20?
I mean,
I don't see him getting
if
any.
10 of them are touchdowns, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, reasonable.
A red zone machine.
If,
right.
If you're asking for much more than that, I don't think you're going to get that much more. I mean, unless Welker is gone. I mean, if something happens to Welker and he has to play full time, then I think he can contribute if healthy. But I don't think he's. Do you think he's getting at the opportunities if healthy?
Mm-mm.
I mean, no. Let's say he's has a healthy, productive training camp. Where does he fit?
He doesn't.
Vashawn writes in.
He's a backup
and he's
for Branch
from New York
and the new guy.
Just wondering what your level of concern is with our running backs with Green Ellis gone. I don't think we have a consistent backfield that can get the job done.
Never have.
Based on what you, what everyone said in the last few podcasts, it seems like you guys aren't placing emphasis on the backfield this offseason. My question is why? Don't you think the last few playoff games that we lost would have been different if we were able to run the ball better? Last two Super Bowls come to mind. Anyway, keep up the good work, and I'll be subscribing to the paper soon. On a side note, please play the Hey Boss, You're a Loser and Soap with a Slot bit more. They are freaking hilarious, and I break down laughing every time it's played.
Hey Boss, You're a Loser. That's not a bit. It's just what I say occasionally.
I'm not worried about the running backs
because Bill doesn't seem to ever be worried about the running backs. That feeling that we have comes from the way they utilize their running backs. It's a secondary aspect of the offense.
I don't know how much difference it would have made in the Super Bowls running the ball markedly better than they did.
If you were a run-based team, you might not have been in the Super Bowl. You got to the Super Bowl on Tom Brady's right arm, and you lost because you couldn't run the ball? Well, no, you were there as the greatest passing offense the history of the NFL has ever seen. Sure, it would have been great on that day when Tuck and those guys were coming flying to, you know, run a draw to Adrian Peterson and watch him go 80 yards, but you can't have all that. I mean, you were built one way, and it worked really, really, really well most of the time.
And those draws, I mean...
You like to run the draw to the empty.
Well, you know, you can't run the draw to the empty, but you can empty to the draw. Let's see. East Haven, Connecticut.
That doesn't even mean anything.
Mikey Vandalism's on the email box.
The communication.
He says, this may come off as a bit of a reach behind the back, but since it is what Eric likes to do, I figured I would tantalize all of you. Since Bill seems to enjoy having a special teams defense, why not continue our overload on offense and trade up and get Trent Richardson? With two firsts and 2 seconds, what do you think it would take to trade up for him, and would you do it? The guy is being compared to AP. If that is the case, I want him.
AD.
I knew Andy was going to.
He's the best running back to enter the draft since Adrian Peterson. There is no doubt in my mind about that.
I just don't like running backs.
I don't want to trade up to get him, but if I were to trade up, he'd be the guy I'd get, if that makes any sense at all.
He's very good. I think he's the best player in this draft. I think he's that good.
Which, by the way, makes us right again. When everybody was like, Mark, you want to draft Mark Ingram? No, I want the guy who played with Mark Ingram. He's a better player.
I just is not as enamored with the running game. Now, I guess I sort of fall in line with the recent conventional wisdom in the league that it's a passing league and you have to throw the ball to score points.
We're signing fullbacks.
And figure out a way to just be productive enough in terms of the running game. I don't think the lack of a running game has hurt this team substantially over the last several years. It's been a while since they've had a really productive running game, right? Sure. I mean, in terms of, you know, that where it was more than an afterthought.
Sure.
I mean, I know Benny had the 1,000-yard season 2 years ago, but I think you got to go back to Corey Dillon in 04 to have
–
and I know that you can just say, well, they won the Super Bowl that year. Yeah, they did. You can't take that's the facts.
I'll ask Andy this question because he's Mr. Football.
It's great to see.
I know. I know a lot of off season, you know, bringing in of guys is no more than just we need 80 guys in camp.
Right.
How often do you think a coach looks at who the competition is? For example, in the AFC East, you could say that we're going to play the Jets twice and they're going to run the ball. That bringing in guys as fullbacks is more we need them on the scout team in camp.
I don't think there's a
no
of that. No.
No. Okay.
I mean, you asked Andy.
That doesn't even really make it. I mean, to make such a decision based on such a limited factor, one team you're going to face.
Well,
and in training camp, you're saying I'm going to
devote
this time.
Well, maybe you're looking at more than one team. Maybe you're looking at all three teams that you face that are going to be ground-based teams.
Well, certainly Buffalo's not going to be.
You don't think so?
No, they throw the ball all over the place.
They are the Patriots. They spread it and sling it.
Maybe Miami, but even then, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think that happens a real lot.
You don't think that your competition for the year that, you know, we're going to be facing a lot of teams that don't have great quarterbacks are going to try to beat us in the ground. We got to get ready for that. No,
but, I mean, if you were to say the Steelers, the Ravens, the Texans were all built a certain way, then I think you might make decisions based on that. But I think you're going to win the division. I mean, as much as it sounds, you know, somewhat egotistical or whatever, to me, if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, there are certain teams you know you're going to have to go through. To build them towards that is one thing. That's not the Dolphins. That's not the Bills. That's not the, well, I guess the Jets you could kind of include in there. But I don't think that's a realistic.
So you don't look at your division first?
No, you do look at your division first. But
you
can't build it just to beat one team in your division with blinders
on. I understand that.
And I think signing three fullbacks so that I have a good scout team running back is, I mean, we could put a guard out there. We can put a guy out there that can throw his body around.
Yeah, I actually don't think it makes a lot of sense to build your team to beat specific teams, period. Unless it was something like this, you know, that's what every team, every good team does,
right.
A.
Trends.
You know, and we need to be able to deal with A.
Right.
Now, to develop your roster just to go against the teams in your division, I don't think that makes a lot of sense.
Well, that's why I asked Mr. Football. And some of them have kind of blown up. Like, you know, there was this whole point, whatever it was, 5 years ago, where the slot corner became a starting value position. And so the Patriots are going to... Well, since then, they haven't had two starting caliber corners, never mind three starting caliber corners. Some of them haven't even panned out philosophically.
How about Houston drafting Mario Williams so they could go against Peyton Manning
right.
and then beating him once in his
right.
ensuing
I mean,
5 years?
Some of that is, the bottom line is get good football players to play good football, and you're going to beat most teams. It's kind of basic and simple, but that's the way it works.
Don't let other teams dictate the building of your own team.
Well,
right.
Yeah.
Build the best team you can based on your scheme and your philosophy.
Yeah, and I think that's what Bill tries to do. Is I don't think he worries too much about what the other teams are doing.
Now you're getting
okay.
He thinks that I think that he thinks, and he's going to do this, but then he does this,
right.
and oh boy, I thought he was going to do that.
Now there
and I
are things
stupid.
You know, you have to do to adjust and on the fly and be able to deal with. You know, and like Andy just talked about the whole thing with the slot corner. That maybe 10 years ago you didn't really even think about
right.
having 3-4 cornerbacks that could cover or extra safeties that could play equally well to the line of scrimmage or in back or whatever. You have to deal with the passing game now,
and that's
which is different than it was 15 years ago.
Bill's general philosophy is versatile football players, guys who can do, if you can only do one thing, you better do it really well. Well, luckily he has a lot of guys that do
a
bunch of things average.
Emailer says about the Alphonso Smith trade. The Broncos traded a future first to get a second round pick and drafted Alphonso Smith.
Yeah,
after his rookie season, they traded him to the Lions for Dan Gronkowski, who was previously a seventh-round draft pick.
Stiff City. Bad personnel move right there. You traded a one for Dan Gronkowski.
And he's the guy,
Dan
if
Gronkowski.
You recall.
Maybe Josh was on to something, the Gronkowski family. He knew there was going to be gold there somewhere.
Alphonso Smith is also the guy that got absolutely destroyed on Thanksgiving by the Patriots. Deion Branch, if you recall.
I don't, so I'll
really?
Go with your memory.
You don't remember that?
I remember, sort of, but I don't remember Alphonso Smith. Do you, Fred?
No.
I don't either.
A little list.
Am I the only one that covers these games?
Well, you're the only one that remembers.
I'm going to save that one for my review.
It's not going to go very well. I've already been there, done that.
A little listener.
You already had your review?
Don't get your hopes up.
Did you already have your review?
Yeah.
Oh, did you done with everybody else?
No.
Okay.
I had Maura schedule it for me.
A little listener on listener.
I scheduled it as review session for PFW's biggest star was what it said on his calendar.
No, big raise for PFW.
Oh, big raise for PFW's biggest star. And he accepted. I go, woohoo, Fred agreed to my contract. I didn't get
little
it.
Listener on listener plagiarism crime here.
Okay.
Tyler from Georgia
like
says, just wanted to add a citation to Omar's email. The no more than a coupon to Red Lobster comment needs a footnote to my comment on Facebook where I made the same joke, which he liked. Don't mind you using it, but always reference your sources, my friend.
Wow.
Welcome to the world of PFW. The real media does it to us all the time.
Yeah, you might have heard about that. You know, should the Patriots be interested in Tim Tebow?
Right.
That John Clayton threw out there.
We haven't even talked about Tim Tebow.
No, can we not?
I just want to say one thing.
But is there anything really to talk about?
I just want to say one thing about yesterday, okay? He's getting a lot of flack. A,
here we go.
Wasn't his decision to do a press conference. B, he didn't bring up religion.
Wasn't his decision?
No.
No.
He didn't.
He couldn't have said no.
At that point, when you just come in the team, you don't start making demands.
Well, another guy who just came to the team demanded to be traded.
Right.
So you can do whatever you want to do. If you have morals,
fine.
You stick to them.
Fine. Tim Tebow doesn't do that. A,
wasn't his decision.
B, he didn't bring up religion until the media brought it up. He did not mention, even in his opening thing where he thanked the Jets and everybody else.
He actually
else.
Didn't. The first time ever I've heard him start something with, first and foremost, I want to thank the Broncos.
Right.
And I agree with Mike Felger. Biggest upset in the history of sports, that following that phrase was not our Lord and Savior Jesus
Christ. No, but you're
that's
right.
Paul. He wants to thank Paul.
Right. You sounded like Mayor Mito.
There was not one word of religion until the media brought it up. So I just have to defend
it. And then there was plenty
him.
Of it after that.
Well, yeah, but.
And Danny Werfel gave me an autograph
asking.
When I was a little
they
kid.
They kept asking.
And I still keep that autograph at my mom's house. And that tells me that we're important and we can bring smiles
to
people's faces.
How can you not smile when you're listening to Tim Tebow? He's a good guy.
I just want to punch him. He has that smirk, that condescending smirk.
He's just happy.
He answers every question with the same condescending smirk.
You ever think that he just loves life? He appreciates life?
No one loves life that much.
Okay.
I didn't see it, so I can't comment.
Stupid smirk.
And I hate it. I hate that I can't comment on it.
I mean, he had no say in going to a press conference. It's amazing.
He didn't.
Really? So he was going to get fired. They wouldn't have traded
for him. What's
the
big deal that he had a press conference? Why do you hate so much?
I hate him.
Why?
The wrong way.
He shrugs his shoulders. He has no idea why.
I don't think he can play. I mean, I think I'm on record as that, but...
And his condescending, holier-than-thou nature.
Plus, you ruined my whole theory that people that don't think he can play, it's not necessarily because they don't like him. You just don't like him.
Well, I hate him for both reasons. That's why I'm considered the biggest Tim Tebow hater, because I combine the
right.
two.
Sam writes in, I have one question. With the signing of Lloyd, does it mean we're out of the Mike Wallace race?
Yes.
And do you see the Steelers keeping him?
Yes. No, the main reason we're out of the Mike Wallace race is 120 million reasons.
Yeah.
Thank you for keeping me entertained during this offseason. I just wish it was every day. I get bored on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Me too.
Keep up the good work. And since I am not a constant contributor, I would love to buy you lunch sometimes. I hear all these people doing it for you, so I don't know how to do it. I live in California now, but I would love to do it one time soon.
You have a credit card?
Kevin, take care of that.
You can do it.
Yeah,
flag that one.
You can do it.
And I'll tell you what makes things go by a little faster on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Go to the gym. Middle of the day kills a nice couple hours.
Dagmar.
I've never been three. And I just wanted to point out to you, I looked around the weight room yesterday, Monday? And I look around and there were seven people in there.
All from the Patriots?
Six of them were Patriots employees.
Really?
Yes.
Like
marketing, bunch of people. And
they took time off
Gold
from their orgy.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant down here in the Patriots.
No, I'm not allowed down here. Can you get me access to that
gym
down there?
Sometimes the door is open.
I can't just sneak in.
No, but you can look in.
You could go in and get a quick couple of reps.
Can you give me access to that Revs one?
No.
Why?
Because it's the Revs one.
So? I bring more money to this organization than the Revs do.
Jay Heaps doesn't want to see their ass in there.
Do they have a quarter of a million listeners? No, they do not.
I'll tell you, big win for the Revs, right?
Big win.
Did they win?
Yeah, they won.
So they're now what? 1-2 with
one goal versus
17?
Or 1-2-1?
1-2. No,
they're 1-2.
1-2.
And how many goals did they score in the win?
One.
And they gave up five in the losses, right?
Yeah, it was in their first minute of play on Saturday.
They stink.
I came home just for the whole year.
Why do you got to be like that?
Because for a year and a half, they've stunk.
Yeah, but
so
this
what?
Is a new year, new coach.
And they stink.
Turning the
they're
page.
They're 1-2.
They're in heaps of trouble. What?
They have more games on their schedule than the Celtics. It's a long season.
What?
You know what that means?
What
a lot of
say?
Opportunity to lose.
How'd you get the Celtics into this?
I'm just kidding. I said they have more games on their schedule than the Celtics.
Oh, well, that's true. They play forever.
I mean, things are supposed to be turning the corner. They're out of salary cap hell.
Dagmar,
in a league where it's run by the league.
Dagmar in Miami says three Super Bowl wins, 100 team rushing yards in each of these individual games, two Super Bowl losses with under 100 team rushing yards in each. In fact, adding the rushing yards in both losses falls short of 150. Keep underrating the running game and more disappointments will come. Please kick Andy in the head.
Okay, well, I said it. So
you're going to break your foot.
You can kick me in the head. Andy didn't say it. I would just say, you know, in those two losses, you came a total of, a minute 35 away from winning both games, and you would have had two more wins with less than 150 yards combined rushing.
Or you could go the other way.
Did you know?
In the three wins, you were a minute and something from losing all three games.
Exactly.
And you would have been losing with 100 yards.
It's why I absolutely despise school board evaluations.
Which is weird from the guy who came up with the win-based formula.
Oh, shut up. Only because of your 6-10.
Speaking of Andy's head, do you know if you look really closely, you can see David Stern's signature in it?
He had nothing else to say.
Because it was supposed to be a big... He didn't need to follow it up.
You know, what am I going to do? He's Fred.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, hey, Paul,
uh-oh.
Say Mickey Loomis again. I have no idea who that guy is, but every time you say that name, I get an image in my head of a 1940s gangster wearing a zoot suit and carrying a machine gun. The name freaking kills me.
Yeah.
He does look like somebody who would be like a, you know.
I'd have to know what he looks like.
I don't know what he looks like.
A loan shark.
What does he look like? I don't
know. Nobody knows. He may not even be a real person. You know? Mickey Loomis. Craig in Ottawa, we're getting to the end here.
One of my dumbest moments ever in a 13-year career full of dumb moments on this show. That was one of my dumbest ever.
What?
The Mickey Loomis thing that I completely misunderstood you three, and I was arguing with myself.
It happens.
It does happen.
Quite often with you.
You know you're on the wrong side when, like, even Eric has some, like, people on his side.
Right.
You
know? No one's ever on Eric's side. Literally, the first caller after he's on the radio makes fun of him for the weather report.
He spent like 5 minutes telling us how great it was. Does he know it's like 28 degrees here today?
He's not a reporter. He's a tourist. That's
problematic because he's our reporter.
I told him he should like try to get in with one of these, you know, big
tour
guy places.
Did he have his review too?
You know, no. Fodors or some of those other ones.
What? Fodors.
Fodors. It's like a big tour book, like hotel reviews,
like
things
Zagat
like that.
Or Zagat.
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 Yep. Zagat. Zagat. Whatever it is.
Isn't it Fromers?
I think there's a Fromers too, but there's also FODOR, I think.
FROD. Fromers. Like you, pretending to know anything about it.
No, but there's also a.
Yeah, there's a Fromers.
I wish ESPN Boston Radio had video like they want us to have, because Adam Pac-Man Jones' scarf is worth a C today.
Pretty,
boy, does he look gay.
I was going to say.
Very, like, European, metrosexual.
He's got that big bushy beard.
He's growing a beard, and he's got a black pea coat on with a gray scarf under. I don't know what's going on with him, but I don't like
looks
it.
Looks like not Eric, that cold in there, is it?
I don't know. He does. It looks like something Eric would wear and think he was cool.
By the way,
do you have that strut?
Not to promote another show, they came in to ask me if they could use the studio because they got Gronkowski tomorrow.
Wow.
Why don't we have Gronkowski?
I don't know. You were talking to him today?
I was.
I just set it up.
Did the whole interview.
We got to get more guests.
We do.
What time's that happening?
Gronkowski, well, they're recording him after their show to air on Wednesday, I believe.
So
it's happening today.
Thursday. No, air on Thursday.
Air on Thursday when they're competing against us.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-oh. Arms race.
Well, I'm just wondering if we should try to see if we can
get their sloppy seconds.
Well, we'll have him ourselves.
Well, I'll ask.
And we'll tape something for Thursday's show.
I can also ask if we want to use a piece of it or something like that.
We don't want their voice. We want our own.
We want to ask our questions. Gronk in here, we could get him to go down a road he doesn't want to go down.
All right, well, that's going to
do it for this. So, was she really 16?
That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
That's it? Another hour.
Thanks, everyone, for listening on this special off-season edition. We will be back next Thursday with more updates from Eric. Talk to you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.